Okay, let's get started. Okay, so we're going to focus today on many of the particulars having to do with types of mechitzas that can be used in order to transform an area into a rishus hayachid. And before even we get into the particulars of Tzuras HaPesach, just in terms of last time we discussed what the mechitzas are valid. We had a mechitza, a charitz, a tail, and we discussed combining all of them, or using all of them, utilizing all of them in the construction of the Eruv. But we also discussed having breaks. You don't have to have mechitzas necessarily the entire way, as long as it's Oymed Merubah Laparetz. So that's where we're going to begin today. The Shulchan Aruch tells us in Shin Samach Bei Sif Ches, that if you have Oymed Merubah Laparetz, more walls, of whatever genre or flavor you have them, if you have more walls than open space, so then we view the open space as doorways, and that does not disturb the fact that it's a rishus hayachid. But if you have paritz merubo ha'oimed, if it's exactly equal, oimed kaparitz, that's also kosher. First, the daf mesef the sukkah, oimed kaparitz is also kosher. But if it's paritz merubo ha'oimed, there's more open than standing, then that would be a problem. You can't call the whole area, you can't have breaks more than the walls and still call them, justify calling them doorways. So then that would negate its status as a rishus hayachid. How do you assess, though, oimed merubah laparetz? Is that in each bar or the entire Erev in its entirety? So I could have two full walls on, let's say, the east and the north, but the west and the south, individually, are parts merubah laparetz, but if you put it all together in composite with the entire area that's enclosed, it will add up to be Oymed Merubah Laparetz. Is it the sum of all four sides, or is it each bar individually? So Rashi writes in Masechta the Sukkah and Zayin Amud Aleph, and this is the opinion of the Aruch HaShulchan, as we assess it based on the entire enclosure. However, the Mishnah Berurah rejects that, doesn't even mention that as a possibility, and even though that's the opinion of the Aruch HaShulchan, it's not even mentioned by the Poskim. It's generally assumed, like it says in the Mishnah Berurah, Shin Samach Beis, Sivkam Mem Hei, that we assess each bar of the Eruv independently. Each side. Yeah, what if you have more than four sides? Three sides, you have eight sides, nine sides. Again, it would probably be each bar independently. Even if it's more than four, it would probably be each bar independently. The Mishnah Berurah writes, in Sivkat and Memhei, the Chiddush, which I gave you over here on the, I tried to make things a little bit easier. I don't know, there might be too many diagrams or we might be missing a few, but the Mishnah Berurah writes, and it's found over here in the diagram on page 1, Ois Dalid. Let's start with Ois Hei. So Mishnah Berurah writes, in that situation, where let's say you have one bar of the Erev, where there's one standing, one open, two standing, then three, eight open, two standing, one open, and one standing. If you look over there at Ois Hei, so the Mishnah Berurah writes, how much standing do you have? You have six standing, and how much open do you have? 10. So there's six Oymed, 10 Parutz. The Mishnah Berurah calls that Oymed Merubah Laparetz. Why? Because he says the two and the one negate the one in between them. And when you have Oymed Merubah Laparetz, at least in part of a wall, that makes whatever was paritz in between them, ki'ilu, it's Oymed. So then that becomes like four Oymed. The other side, the same situation, the two and the one, getting up on the one in between, on the left side, and they make that like four Oymed, the paritz becomes ki'oymed. Then you have four and four on either side, that's equal to the eight that's in the middle, that's Oymed ki'paritz, they're exactly equal, and therefore you could have six Oymed in reality and 10 parutz, but al pi halacha that will be considered Oymed kiparutz. It would be four and four. Eight and eight, and that would be that would be kosher. The Chazon Ish and Siman Samech Chesoy's Gimel disagrees with the Mishnah Berurah on two scores. The first is the Chazon Ish says that even when you have Oymed kiparutz in the subsection of a wall, we don't consider the parutz ki Oymed. It might not disturb, let's say that one that's in between the two and the one might be that's considered Parutz, Merubah Laparetz, and the one doesn't disturb it, but we're not going to consider it as if it's Oymed. That can't work to be Mavato Laparetz that's in the middle. The only time that wall or that bar would be kosher is if you would substitute a three for the two, meaning if you would have legitimately four Oymed on either side. The one in between isn't going to be a problem because that's in the middle of a larger, in the middle of a larger Oymed. So, but if you had legitimately four standing on either side, then we could begin to discuss Oymed Kipparet. But then the Chazon Ish disagrees on a different point. And the Chazon Ish says that Oymed mi beis stadim is not mitzarif. If you have Oymed on one side that's equal or greater than the parots, we can say Oymed meruba la parots. But if you have parots, which is greater than either side independently, like over here, the eight parots in the middle is greater, even if you have four on either right and the left, the eight is greater than on both sides. So you can't use Oymed on two sides to negate a parot. Oymed mi beit stadim is a problem. He's basing himself on the Gemara Masechtas Erevin. The Gemara Masechtas Erevin discusses the situation in Ois Dalid, where you have nine standing and eight parots. Yet the Gemara says that's no good. Why is that no good? So the Gemara explains, because you can't be, one opinion of the Gemara is, you can't be mitzarif Oymed from two sides to be mevato the parots in between. That's why it's no good. Then the Gemara rejects it, and the Gemara says, no, it's because Asi Avira, the high gisu mevatale, the two fours, gang up in the three that's in between it. This rule is quoted by the Mishnah Berurah in Shin Samach Gimel Sefkot and Kuf Mem Hei, that if you have Asi Avira, the high gisu, you have airspace on one side, which is greater than the Amud that's in between it. On either side, it's equal or greater to the Amud that's in between it. On one side, it's greater. The other side, it's equal or greater. So then that's Mavatel, the Amud that's in between it. So the four and the four on either side of Mavatel, the three that's inside of it. In which case, you have six Oymed and eight Parutz. So you have Parutz Merubal Oymed. So there's a machlekes rishonim when the Gemara arrives at that final conclusion. The reason why that situation of Ois Dalid is no good is because of Asi Avir, the high geese and Mavatel. What happened to the issue of Oymed mi beis stadim? Where do we stand on that issue? So that's a machlekes rishonim. Was that suggestion discarded, or do we accept that in the end? And that's a machlekes rishonim cited by the Sharatzin, Shin Samech Beis, Sifkat and Lamed. And the Shaar Tzion believes, quotes Machlokes Rishonim, Shaar Tzion believes we paskin Oymed mi beis stadim, mi beis ruchos, does work to be mevatel parts in between, and the Chazon Ish disagrees. The Chazon Ish holds that it does not work. Even though Oymed meruba la parts is good for each bar of the Eruv, and that if you have it on each of the four sides, or whatever, however many sides you have, that would make the area enclosed to be a Rosh HaYachid. The Shulchan Aruch tells us, Shin Samach Beis Sif Tes, if one of the Pirtzos is a Pirtza Yeser Meyeser, more than 10 Amos long, so then that would disturb the enclosure. You can't have a doorway, because the whole purpose of the pirza, the whole reason why pirzas are negligible is because they're viewed as a doorway. A pirza, yes, may, yes, sir, it's impossible to view it as a doorway, yeah.
How do we pass in the rice on Asiya Vira and on Omed
Rebate Sustani? Machleg is the Mishnah Berurah and the Chazon Ish.
So
that's Machleg. Yeah, Machleg. It doesn't. I've been involved in a number of Erevin, that issue has never come up. Asiya Vira, the high geese comes up. And everyone agrees to Asi Avir, the high geese of Mavatel, but I've never been in a situation where you have Oymed be beis stadim. I've never been counted that, yeah.
In terms of the Avir on either side, or on both sides being Mavatel space,
yeah.
You put the Oymed in the middle, even if together, meaning if independently each side is not more than the middle, as long as the airspace on both sides is enough.
See, the Chazon Ish believes that we add up all the airspace and all the standing. The Shabur says we divide into subsections, and as long as it's a subsection, the Omid is greater than the Parot, that Parot becomes part of the Omid. There's a good argument to be made. It's because we're going to take a pirtz over here and a pirtz over here to disturb the Mechitza. That's a garnish, that's a garnish. So that's the Mishnah Berurah's argument.
But I'm saying, with regards to the general rule of the Avir on both sides,
right.
Do you need to have
Asi Avir the high geese?
Right.
Yeah.
How much? As long as together from the airspace on both sides, there's enough.
No, it has to be greater than. On one side, it has to be greater than the Amud. The other side has to be equal or greater than. It can be equal on one side, but on one side, it has to be greater. That's the rule, I think, the Mishnah Berurah explained. Anyway, so you can have Oymed Merubah LaParetz, then the wall is okay. But if you have one of the Pirtzes, the Pirtze Yesem Yeser, that's a problem. The Bir Halacha and Shin Samach Beis Sif Yud is of the opinion that Pirat Yasser Meyasser is only a din midrabbanon, and that's the opinion of the Chazon Ish as well. And that was one of the assumptions of the Chazon Ish in his suggestion regarding large cities where much of the real estate is taken up by buildings. So you have a lot of walls all over the place. I gave it to you over here in the first page of the diagram. It's the diagram Aleph, you know, the diagram we had last time. So that's Oymen Merubah Laparot. Let's say 185th Street, or what was 185th Street, is Oymen Merubah Laparot on three sides, which is Rishus HaYachim Midaraisa, but you do have the cross streets which go through it. Oh, but that's a Pirzah Yasser Meyasser. Does that disturb my Oymen Merubah Laparot? Midaraisa. If it does, then the area could revert to being back to Rosh HaRabim. So the Chazon Ish argues, no, it doesn't. That's only a problem midarabanan. The area remains midaraisa, Rosh HaYochid. And even though your pirtas are pirtas of Yasem Yeser, that doesn't return the area to being reverted to being a Rosh HaRabim midaraisa. It remains Rosh HaYochid midaraisa. And therefore, since it's a Rosh HaYochid midaraisa, we could close off the cross streets with the Tzuras HaPesach, and we won't say Asil Rabim Umavakul Mechitztak, if you remember our discussion from last time, because we're not dealing with the Rishus HaRabim Derais, we're dealing with the Rishus HaYochid. One of the arguments against those who disputed the suggestion of the Chazon Ish is that they believe that Pirtzi Yes Meyeser is in fact a Din Midaraisa. There are Rishaynim who seem to imply that it is a Din Midaraisa in the literature on this issue. It's much like Rishaynim, probably. Anyway, some Acharonim disagreed with the Chazon Ish. They held that a Pirtzi Yasem Yasser is a Din Midarais, and therefore the area reverts back to being a Rishus HaRabim. The other issue that we discussed last time was do you say Asu Rab Mavatl Mechitz? Do we pass in Asu Rab Mavatl Mechitz even by Omer Merubah Laparetz, or don't we? Which was Machlokes Rabbanim Reb Yehuda, and that was our discussion last time. But one of the critical issues and the suggestion of the Chazon Ish is what is the status of a Pirtzi Yasem Yasser? Another issue that might depend on whether Pirtzi Yasem Yasser is the Rais of the Rabbanon is Rav Moshe Rais and Igros Moshe, a big chiddush, and this I have encountered, is if what if you have over here a diagram Vav. You have Oymen Merubah Laparetz, but you can't have, again, a Pirtzi Yasem Yasser. What if I don't have any one individual Pirtzi that's a Pirtzi Yasem Yasser, but if I say Asi Avir, the High Geese of the High Geese, Umavatalai, now I will have a Pirtzi Yasem Yasser, like over here. You have 40 on one side, 40 on the other side. 9, that's not a Pirtzi Yasem Yasser. 9, not a Pirtzi Yasem Yasser, but in between there's only 1. I had this in, I don't want to say where, I hope they don't rely on this anymore, but they were using the front of homes, which is always, I don't like it, and bushes, I always say, if you rely on bushes for your area, it's Bush League, if you know what that means. We shouldn't be doing that in the metropolitan area. But anyway, they were relying on the front of the home, just like the Chazon Ish, by the front of buildings. The problem is, front of homes are a problem because people think that they're in the Eruv and their front of their house might be, but the back of their house isn't. So it becomes problematic. They thought no one would ever move there, and then people ended up moving there. But they were using the front of the home, the community expanded program, using the front of the home. But what happened was, you have driveways in between. So they were assuming none of the driveways were appeared to yes, may yes. The problem, and they weren't. The problem is, you have two driveways next to each other with a wall in between. So they didn't realize, but that's Asi Avir, the high geese, Mavatal. It's Mavatal, this one horizontal wall that was there. So now, those two pierces, neither one of which was, this was two driveways with a wall in between them, which was a hedge, actually, a hedge of bushes in between. So that, we say, Asi Avir, the high geese, Mavatal, and that creates a pierce of yes, may yes. So Rav Moshe said, we do not say Asi Avir, the high geese, Mavatal, to create a pierce of yes, may yes. So if Shechler assumed the only reason, the way you could justify that, is to assume that a pirtzi yasem yasser is only a din midrabanan. Rav Moshe also had this by toll booths. You can have such a situation by a toll booth. Neither lane is yasem yasser, but the toll booth, all you have in between of it is a toll booth. So do you say, I'll see you the high geese, mavatale, and now all of a sudden you have a pirtzi yasem yasser. So if Shechler did not think we should accept this Rav Moshe, I told him the situation, he was not happy relying on Rav Moshe, but even though he believes Pirtzi Yasem Yasser is only Din Midrabanan, doesn't necessarily mean we shouldn't say Asi Avir the High Geese Mavatalei to create a Pirtzi Yasem Yasser. But he thought if you're going to say what Rav Moshe said, he must be assuming that Pirtzi Yasem Yasser is only a Din Midrabanan. What about if you have, yeah?
What's wrong with bushes?
Bushes are okay. We're going to get to the problem with bushes in a second. A whole bunch of problems with bushes, but you're right. In theory, they're okay. What if you have a Pirtzi Yasem Yasser? So what can you do? So you put a Tzuras HaPesach and close the Pirtzi Yasem Yasser. Can a Tzuras HaPesach work to close a Pirtzi Yasem Yasser? Why should it not work? So the argument against it is because, again, Turas HaPesach makes it into a doorway. Can you have such a big doorway that's a pierce a yes master? Does anybody build such big doorways? The whole purpose of a Turas HaPesach is to make it into a doorway. Do you ever have such a big door? So the Shofan Aruch over here, Shin Tam Abay Sif Yud, quotes from the opinion of the Rambam that you cannot have a Turas HaPesach for a pierce a yes master unless you have Aymein Merubah Laparot. If you have Aymein Merubah Laparot, then the opinion of the Rambam was you can have a Turas HaPesach for Pirsa Yesem Yeser. If you do not have Oymei Merubah Laparot in the larger, you know, bar of the Erev, then you cannot rely on a Turas HaPesach for Pirsa Yesem Yeser. Why should Oymei Merubah Laparot factor in? If you can have a Turas HaPesach for Pirsa Yesem Yeser, why do I need, why does Oymei Merubah Laparot matter? So Chaim explains, he has a whole shtick on this piece in the Rambam, where Chaim explains what the Rambam feels is you cannot rely on Turas HaPesach for more. You can have one Turas HaPesach, perhaps it's larger than Yesem HaYeser, but it can't be that that's what constitutes the majority of the Eruv, at least for that bar. You need to have real walls. Once I have real walls, I can close off parts of the Turas HaPesach. But if I don't have real walls, I can't use the Turas HaPesach to create the entire bar of the Eruv. Of the Rishus Hayochid. He explains it in a more complicated fashion. So the Mishnah Berurah on Shin Samer Beis of Kadun Tes explains that we should be Chayshish for this opinion of the Rambam. The Shulchan Aruch quotes it, it doesn't necessarily go with it, but the Mishnah Berurah says we should be Chayshish for the opinion of the Rambam. That's why Rav Shechter doesn't carry in most Erevin, is because they're relying on the Heter of Turas HaPesach, not because each individual Turas HaPesach is more than Eser Amos, because they're relying on the Heter of Turas HaPesach for the majority of the Erev, for that bar. If you would have Oymei Merubah Laparot, and you might have one individual Turas HaPesach, which is Yes Me'eser, that wouldn't be a problem. The Rambam there would accept it. The Rambam says you can't have the majority of the side of the Erev, or the bar of the Erev, be relying on Turas HaPesachs. There are a few Erevin where, in the city, Manhattan might actually be better than most suburban Erevin, because, and on this score, you know, in regards to this issue, because at least according to the Chazon Ish, we have most of the Erev. It's Oymei Merubah Laparot, it's buildings. Or in Kew Gardens Hills, actually, we discussed last time, you have the LIE, you have the you know, the Grand Central and the Van Wyck, they all have retaining walls or fences. So the majority of it is Oymei Merubah Laparot, arguably. So even though you have Pirsa Yesem HaYeser, that might be a Rambam Erev. Maybe. But certainly in the city, if unless you go to the edge of Manhattan where there aren't buildings around, it might be, you could actually have a, you know, like the YU Erev might be a Rambam Erev. You probably have an Oymei Merubah Laparot in buildings. Yeah.
Just in real life, the most suburban Erevins
do not conform to this. Yeah. That's why Shef doesn't carry most Erevins. Yeah, and that's what the Mishnah Berurah recommends according to follow the opinion of the Rambam. The Chabadskers tried to be chayshish for the opinion of the Rambam. They quote from the, it's found in the Shulchan Aruch HaRav, but there's also the opinion of the Chasam Sofer, is that if you don't have, according to the Rambam, the only time you need Oymei Merubah Laparot in order to have a Turas HaPesach for Pirsa Yesem HaYeser is if the distance between the poles is more than Eser Amos. But if you put lots of poles where no Turas HaPesach is more than a Pirsa Yesem HaYeser, so then that should be okay, even if you don't have Oymei Merubah Laparot. So that's why in Chassidish, in Chabad camps, they put lots of poles close to each other to make sure they're within 18 feet or Eser Amos. Chazon Ish disagrees, and so would Reb Chaim, that's not what the Rambam meant. The Rambam meant you can't rely on the heter of Turas HaPesach for the majority of the bar of the Erev. Not that each individual, that would be a problem. Meaning, but it's not that each individual Pesach cannot be more than Eser Amos, but it means you can't rely on the heter of Turas HaPesach for more than Eser Amos unless you have Oymei Merubah Laparot. So in most circles, we don't bother putting lots of poles because you really don't solve anything by doing it, but that's the minig of Chabad. Okay, so if you have Oymei Merubah Laparot, and even if you don't have any pirtzis Yesem HaYeser, so you should be okay, there's one other little snag, and that is the Shulchan Aruch tells us Shin Samach Aleph Sif Beis that you cannot have a pirtz of a Karen Zavis. If there's a pirtz of a Karen Zavis, that also disrupts the Oymei Merubah Laparot, even if you don't have any pirtz of Yesem HaYeser. That's this diagram over here, Ois Beis, on the first page of the diagrams. Which is the upper left diagram in Ois Beis is a Pirtza Bekeren Zavis. That disrupts the Erev. It has to be, though, that it eats, you know, it's Oichel Mishnei Rosheha, that's the way it's described in the Mishnah Berurah, which means that it's missing on both sides. If you have, let's say, the bottom right diagram, where it's just missing towards the corner, but there isn't missing on both sides, that's okay. That's kosher. But if it's missing on both sides, then that's a problem. Rav Shechter noted on our Erev tour that oftentimes you have a large Erev, it's hard to really know what's called a pir to be Karen Zavis. It doesn't mean every time you're in a corner of the Erev, that's all of a sudden called a pir to be Karen Zavis. Lots of times the Erev meanders like this, and comes around over here and over here. So Shechter said, yeah, what you'd have to do is look at an aerial map of the Erev and try and box it off. So whatever is more or less in the corner of the Erev, when it changes directions, that would be called a corner. But if it's not changing directions necessarily, like we were discussing over here by 185th Street, at the top by the parking lot, that even if there would be Oichel Mishnei Rosheh, it's missing on both sides, it wouldn't be called the Pier to be Karen Zavis, because the Erev runs from 182nd Street to the old YU Erev to 187th Street. So it's just basically going along Autobahn, even though it takes a slight detour for Schottenstein. That's not really a change in direction, so he didn't think that would be called the Pirtz Bekaren Zavis. Another interesting situation, which is probably not a Pirtz Bekaren Zavis, is over here, Ois Gimel, diagram Gimel. That's also not a Pirtz Bekaren Zavis. Again, it's more or less going in the same direction. Shulchan Aruch says explicitly that that's not considered to be a Pirtz Bekaren Zavis. How do you solve, because more or less going in the same direction, even if you would have the second diagram in Dao, that's not a Pirtz Bekaren Zavis. More or less going the same direction. What if you have, how do you solve a pir to be Karen Zavis? And Mishnah Berurah writes of Katan Yud, what you can do is put a Tzuras HaPesach from one end of the wall to the other end of the wall, and that should solve the issue. That is debatable, because how does the Tzuras HaPesach work? Tzuras HaPesach works because it's considered to be a doorway. But the whole reason why a pir to be Karen Zavis is a problem is because even though Pirtzah normally doesn't disturb us because we consider the pier to be a Pesach, Pischa Bekaren Zavis will have the Inchi. Nobody makes a doorway in a corner of a house like this. You might make a doorway at the end of a wall, but you don't make a doorway that's on an angle like that. It's a house in Pesach, but it's not, the Haraya is that it's abnormal. It's usually not done. Most people don't build homes like that. So, therefore, we can't justify it as a Pesach. So one could debate and say Tzuras HaPesach shouldn't work there either, but the Mishnah Berurah, because the whole purpose of a Tzuras HaPesach, like a doorway, but Pischa Bekaren Zavis Le'av De'inchi, but nonetheless, the Mishnah Berurah says a Tzuras HaPesach does work there. The other way of solving the issue, the Chazon Ish says, is just to put one pole in the corner, which is the bottom left diagram over here in Ois Beis on the first page. And that solves the problem, because the Chazon Ish says, what's the problem with the Pischa Bekaren Zavis? The problem is, where do you stop in terms of gauging whether you have Eimin Merubah LaParetz? See, look at the top right. I could say that I have Paretz Merubah LaEimin. How do I know where to stop? Meaning, I can't project. See, if I'm in the bottom right diagram, I could project, well, I have Eimin Merubah LaParetz, because I stop at the left, at the western wall, I'm going to stop. The northern bar stopped at the western wall of that little enclosure. But if I'm in the top diagram, the top one of Ois Beis, so I don't know where to stop. I could keep going. The Avir HaOlam is open in front of me, the entire Midwest, so I could continue going. So if I have Pirtz, so that's called Paretz Merubah LaEimin. So the Chazon Ish says, I'll solve the problem. How do you solve the problem? Put one pole in the corner. Once I put one pole in the corner, now I say, the wall stops here. Well, I say, 1 minute, but what do you have over there in that corner in the pole? You have Asi Avir, the high geese of Avatalei. I have the airspace on the right side, the airspace on the left side. So Chazon Ish says, calls them the Taisis in the Erev. No, the Avir HaOlam never disturbs us. Why don't we say every Erev in the world, I have Asi Avir, the high geese of Avatalei in the middle, because I have the entire United States on this side and the rest of New Jersey on the other side. So Asi Avir, the high geese of Avatalei. No, it's only the airspace inside of the enclosure that disturbs it. So the Chazon Ish says, once I put a pole there, that stops the enclosure. The rest is the Avir HaOlam, and therefore we don't say Asi Avir, the high geese of Avatalei.
And if it's outside of the perimeter of the Erev?
Yes, outside of the enclosure, we don't. It's not included in the Paretz Merubah LaEimin, or we wouldn't say Asi Avir, the high geese of Avatalei. So unless I have a pole there, I don't know where to stop. The enclosure stops. Once I put a pole, now that's a line in the sand, and the rest of the airspace on the other side doesn't disturb me. Once you have a Tzuras HaPesach, is that considered to be Oymed? Does a Tzuras HaPesach count towards Oymed, or is a Tzuras HaPesach just negligible? Like a Pirtza. Yeah, a Pirtza is negligible. Oh, a Pirtza is a problem. But what if I have a Tzuras HaPesach? Does that just make the Pirtza into a Pesach? Or does that make it into Oymed? So that was a suffix of Shechta quoted from the Gaon Yaakov, a classical Achron on Mesechtas Erevin. It actually seems to be a machlekes achrayim that the bir halacha quotes in Shin Sam Gimel Sivav. Every bir halacha that's on the Mar Mekayimus is there because it touches on one of the issues that we've discussed. So in Shin Sam Gimel Sivav, that issue is discussed by the bir halacha. Is it considered to be oymed or is it not considered to be oymed? We generally assume that it is considered to be oymed, but that was the chumah of Shechter quote in the name of Rabbi Parnas and the name of Rabbi Shabik, that in that bungalow colony that they went to, they didn't want to have any pirtzas. Why? Because most Erevin are using Tzuras HaPesach. So if you have any pirtza, so the Tzuras HaPesach makes it negligible, but it's not oymed. So if you have any pirtza in your Erev that's using mostly Tzuras HaPesach, so you have parts of Rubal oymed because you have no oymed. They have no real walls. All you had was Tzuras HaPesach. Tzuras HaPesach is neutral, parev. Once you have any pirtza, now you have parat meruba oymed. So we generally are not, Rav Shechter is not concerned with that because he considered the Tzuras HaPesach to be oymed. But that issue seems to be debated by the Echren. He has a suffix about it. Okay, so we discussed last time, that's how many, how much mechitza you have to have on each bar of the Eruv. It's a par, oymed meruba laparetz, with all of the different wrinkles. What's considered to be a mechitza? So we discussed last time, you could have a fence, you could have a tail, which is an oymed, a cliff, or a charitz, the opposite side of the cliff. So there's another mechitza we didn't deal with last time, and that's the tail hamislaked. Angle, the gradual rise. Not a cliff, it's more of a gradual mechitza. That's over here in the diagram Ches on the first page. So in order to be considered a tel mislak, it has to be oila asara tfachim mitoch dalet amos, hypotenuse of dalet amos with asara tfachim. Rav Shechter quoted machlekes, is the dalet amos the hypotenuse or the bottom side of the triangle? It doesn't really make that much of a difference in terms of the angle. That was the issue that he mentioned that, I think. Yeah. Where is the dalet amos? The hypotenuse or the bottom side of the triangle?
The hypotenuse
would be less steep, yeah. But it's a few degrees. It really doesn't make a difference. There is a problem with relying, Rabbi Bechhofer mentioned this in his book, there's a problem with relying on a tel mislaket, which, just in a practical way, nothing halachic in terms of, conceptual problem, just a practical issue, which is, where do you join up your wall? Let's say I'm using fence, till I get to a tail mislaket. Where, first of all, he notes, which is also a problem, that there's water and rain erodes hills. So first of all, it's a hard thing to gauge. It's hard to figure out exact angles of gradual rises in the dirt. And you mentioned that, you measure it, you'd have to get proper equipment to do that, which is not so easy. Sometimes it's obvious, sometimes it's not obvious. And sometimes it might be steep in one part, not steep in another part, then steep again, then not steep again. I've had many arguments with community rabbi. To him it looks like a tail mislaket, but to me I'm not sure. And then where do you join? And then it changes because water erodes it, something you have to go back and constantly check, which most people don't. If it's a natural wall, people feel like that's, was there, sensation may bracious, it's probably going to still be there. And the other problem is, where do you join up your fence to? Do you join up your fence to the top of the tail mislaket or to the bottom of the tail mislaket? And sometimes there might be yes or may yes, sir, to the top, but not to the bottom, or it might be, to the bottom and not to the top. So if Shechter quotes the Tshuva's Beis Shlomo as a suffix, is the tail mislaken a mechitza? Is the mechitza at the top, or is the mechitza at the bottom? Where exactly is the mechitza? It just becomes very practically difficult. So that's why I don't like, I try and discourage people from using it, yeah.
Couldn't you just in Macher to start counting your Eser Anos from the,
most mechitos start from the bottom. We have a wall connected to a hill at the bottom. The problem is at the bottom, it's a gradual rise. Maybe the mechitza only becomes a mechitza at the top. That's the Beis Shlomo is not sure. Most walls, you join up the walls at the bottom. They join at the top too, but you measure it from the bottom. Where's the mechitza here? Is it only once you reach 10 tefachim it's a mechitza? Or once you reach 10 tefachim it becomes a mechitza from the bottom too? Yeah. So if I have fence, then a tel mislaket. Well, what does it have to be with an Eser of? The top of the tail? The bottom of the tail? Where do I continue my fence? At the top? Or the bottom? It just, if you're good with visualizing spaces, it becomes very complicated.
Stairs
also can count. Yeah, as a tail mislaka. But Rav Shechter mentioned if they're within three tefachim to one another, it might even be like a wall. He discussed that.
Where's the wall start?
That's the bottom.
Then
you probably won't have, if they're within three tefachim, in order for Shabbos to join together, they have to be within three tefachim of one another. So you'll probably have it pretty close together. You know what I'm saying? Staircase. But you could have the same issue.
Today Shlomo's Shaila also
might relate to that, yeah, too. Yeah. Well, you often don't use staircases either, but yeah. What I'm saying is I don't think you'll have the distance of Eser Amos with staircases. They're pretty close to each other. Another practical issue that in theory could serve as a mechitza, but practically is difficult to use, is bushes. So I don't know why it became much darker than the initial picture that I had. But Oysid Aleph, the diagram you'd have on the first page, was just like, privacy bushes that are all next to each other that go all the way down to the ground. That's, it's for sure okay. And if it's an evergreen that's going to last for the summer and the winter, you don't have problems. If it's something that has leaves in one season, it doesn't have leaves in another season, then that's always a problem. But another major problem with bushes, and this is in most hedges, is what's over here in diagram Yud, which is, I don't know if you could see it really, is that the bush doesn't go all the way down to the ground. It's more than three tefachim off the ground. Three tefachim, not so much. It's like one piece of paper. The tefach is 3.6 inches, so let's say around 11 and a half inches off the ground. So if your bush doesn't go all the way down, at the bottom it's stem. So there's, on the bottom there's stem. Even though right on the top, there might everything be within love of one another, that's called a mechitza tluya. And the Gemara says in Masechet Shabbos that a dangling mechitza tluya is no good. For example, over here, Tess, I don't know if you can see it either, but you have a fence where on the bottom it's open. So if it's more than three tefachim off the ground, that's called a mechitza tluya. Mechitza tluya is no good because you have the kias gedim, the goats are going underneath it, and that disturbs the mechitza. So a lot of times by bushes, you have a mechitza tluya, yeah.
Technically, I don't think a gedi could get past those.
Yeah, but if they're not within love to each other, even if they're practically a gedi, let's say I would put spikes on the floor, so no gedi could go there. That still wouldn't help the fact that it's a mechitza tluya. He said, tluya is a problem. That's what the Chassam Sofer said, like you, that it has to be that a gedi could actually go inside. So that's why the Chassam Sofer said, if you have a mechitza tluya that's against the wall, like the Turis HaPesach, if Shechter discussed this in the city where they were ripping down the Turis HaPesach, so they just put it high up on the wall, the pole, so that way no one could reach them. But it's a mechitza tluya. So Chassam Sofer said, yeah, but ain't derech b'nei adam l'schakek piksalim. Nobody walks there. So be no gedim going underneath. Nobody walks with their shoulder rubbing against the wall. There'll be no gedim going underneath the kana, the lechi of the Turis HaPesach. So Chassam Sofer argued that has nothing to do with b'kias gedim. Mechitza tluya, that one of the reasons was that it was a problem is because b'kias gedim, but mechitza tluya becomes a problem even irrespective, irrelevant of b'kias gedim, would also ultimately be a problem. It's a larger discussion. Chassam Sofer was Meikel, and the Chazon Ish was Machmer, yeah. It has to do with b'kias dagim also, whatever, mechitza tluya al gabi amayim is another machleis in the Chassam Sofer and Chazon Ish. Chazon Ish is machmer that mechitza tluya independently is a problem, even regardless of the b'kias gedim. Yeah.
Why doesn't the stem why isn't the stem?
I have stem, right. stem.
Right. So you have stem, and you have.
But I have no mechitza. I have pole. Up here, the bushes get very thick.
Mommy, how thick does?
Everything has to be within love to each other. You can't have breaks.
How thick does mechitza have to be in?
Everything has to be within love to each other, like a chain link fence. Some bushes at the top, you'll have that. Even privacy bushes sometimes, if you know what those are, on the bottom, a lot of times you just have stems, and then higher up, it gets thicker. So that's one problem with the bushes. We're going to get to this. There's another problem with the bushes, too, if they move in the wind. Anyway, that's why I don't like bushes. The other reason I don't like bushes is people trim them. So if I, let's say, I'm a homeowner and you're using my bushes as part of your Erev and I decide to remove my bushes, who's ever going to notice? Nobody. because the Erev checker isn't checking the bushes. So it's just practically a bad idea. We get to a point of the air and we say, what are we relying on? Oh yeah, 10 years ago there was a hedge of bushes here. Now it's no longer there. So most people don't pay attention to that when they're checking an air. That's why I don't like bushes at all. Anyway, that's my own pet peeve fun. What else can serve as a mechitza? So we have a tail, we had a mechitza, charitz, and we also had the tail mislaket. But there's another halakha l'moshe misinai called pitikra yared v'saisim. That if you have we paskin two walls at a right angle to each other, this is quoted by the Rama. Where is this in Shin Samach Aleph Siv Beis? That if you have two walls at a right angle to each other and a roof on top, we view the roof as if it comes down. We say Pitikra Yared V'Soisim, and that will enclose the area that's beneath it. If you turn to page two of the diagrams. So the Gemara says at the top right, Aleph and Beis, maybe the staple eats it up. But the Gemara says that we need three walls or two walls at a right angle, maybe even one wall is enough. We pass, you need two walls at a right angle to say particular yard v'saisim. But the Gemara says if you have a pisca b'karen zavis and kiruy of balachsoin, if you have the roof at an angle, so then you can't say Pitikra Yared V'Soisim. That's how Rashi understood that Gemara. And this is quoted by the Shulchan Aruch Shin Samach Aleph Siv Beis. The Gemara says if it's Kiruya Baal Achson, the roof is on an angle, so you can't say Pitikra Yared V'Soisim. You can fix the problem by putting some siding underneath the roof that's at an angle. And then that will make it like it's flat, like it's horizontal again, and then we could say Pitikra Yared V'Soisim if you'd have two walls that were at a right angle to each other. Yeah.
The problem is the angle underneath.
Then I'll just that part that's at an angle is negligible, and I have just the eave, the part that's flat.
So we're not concerned about the top of the roof.
No, that doesn't bother me. I don't care what goes on up there, as long as I have a roof that's flat. Now I can say Pitikra Yared V'Soisim. If it's on an angle, you can't say Pitikra. Tosfos understood that Gemara entirely differently than Rashi. Tosfos' opinion is the Mishnah Berurah, by the way, makes this point. It's not the modern Chop. The Mishnah Berurah in Sifkan Yud Beis suggests just put a flat piece underneath, and you'll have a flat Tikra. The Tosfos understood the Gemara differently, and Tosfos' opinion is also quoted in Shulchan Aruch Shin Samach Aleph Siv Beis, and that is it's just discussing a regular Pirtza B'Karen Zavis. If I have a roof that's on top of what I gave you over here, diagram bays. Diagram bays, last time we were discussing the walls. Now we're discussing the roof. Even if I would have a roof on top of all of this, but the roof would be on top of the enclosure, you can't say Pitikra Yared V'Soisim to close off that Pisca B'Karen Zavis. Why not? Because Tosfos understood the whole way Pitikra works is that whatever is underneath it is considered to be a Pesach. So therefore, Tosfos says, Pisca B'Karen Zavis lay off the inchi, so Pitikra Yared V'Soisim can't close it off either. That's how the Stipler understood Tosfos. Stipler says Rashi didn't learn the Gemara like that because Rashi has a different understanding of Pitikra Yared V'Soisim. Rashi's opinion is Pitikra makes it like it's a mechitza. The roof is a little bit of the beginning of the mechitza, and then we visualize the rest is coming down, closing off what's underneath it. So Rashi understood Pitikra as the beginning of a mechitza, and then we visualize the rest is coming down. Tosfos understood not as the beginning of a mechitza, but rather as a Pesach. In order to say Pitikra Yared V'Soisim, Tosfos' opinion is that you have to have Dalet Tfachim by Dalet Tfachim. You have to have Dalet. Where is this? Let's look it up. I think it's Dalet Amos by Dalet Amos. Shim and Vav. Ramah quotes this. Dalet Tfachim by Dalet Tfachim. You need underneath Dalet Tfachim by Dalet Tfachim in order to say Pitikra Yared V'Soisim. I guess then we could call it a Pesach for the area. The Ramah quotes this in Shin Mem Vav, Sif Gimel, in the name of the Mordechai, that's why if you're dealing with a porch, we can never say we're afraid that maybe you don't have Dalet Tfachim you don't have Dalet Tfachim by Dalet Tfachim on your little porch, so we don't say Pitikra Yared V'Soisim by porches. Exera of the Mordechai. Lest, even if you have two walls at a right angle, we don't say Pitikra Yared V'Soisim to make the area into Rosh HaSayachar if you're dealing with a porch. Because the Mordechai was concerned, maybe you won't have Dalet Tfachim by Dalet Tfachim underneath the roof, and you'll think that you do. Interesting Exera from the Mordechai, which is cited by the Ramah. Taisa's opinion is also that we don't say Pitikra Yerid V'Soisim if you're trying to close off a break in the wall, just like he's held that you don't say it by Piskav Karen Zavis, you don't say it if the break is greater than Eser Amos. That fits with Taisa's argument all along, which is that that Pitikra works Midin, not Midin Mechitza, that you have the beginning of the Mechitza, and then we visualize the rest of it's coming down, but it works Midin Pesach. Whatever's underneath the roof is considered a doorway. So you don't say Piskav Karen Zavis, you don't say Pitikra Yerid V'Soisim by Piskav Karen Zavis, you don't say it by Pirsi Yesme Yeser either. The Shulchan Aruch, though, does not quote this part of Taisa's.
Right.
Shulchan Aruch, what?
I'm saying, but, I mean, we do say
not Pitikra. So it's a Pesach, not Pitikra.
But didn't
we say Lefi Tosfos? Tosfos works midin Pesach, that whatever's underneath it is rendered a doorway,
right.
But not if it doesn't fit within the general rules of doorways. I said we could have argued that Tosfos Pesach shouldn't work in a Piskav Karen Zavis.
But we do.
Tosfos Pesach does, but that's better than Pitikra. Pitikra doesn't.
So it's a reduced form.
Yes. Yes. So therefore, again, this is in the absence of Ayman Rubal Aparetz. You might not have Ayman Rubal Aparetz. If you had Ayman Rubal Aparetz, you wouldn't need to say Pitikra. This is in the absence of Ayman Rubal Aparetz. You want to say, oh, it's a Pesach because there's a roof on top. Why would there be a roof on top unless it's a doorway? Okay. So you have to say it has to fit within the general rules of doorways. Can't be in a Karen's office. And perhaps Taisus says can't be, yes, may yes, but we part ways with Taisus on that. Shulchan Aruch does not quote that. We Paskin, Pitikra can work. Pirtza Yesme Yeser. Ramay Shed a Chiddush by Pitikra, based on the Gemara Masech Lesukh on Daf Yud Ches, which I gave to you over here on page 2 of the diagrams, diagram Gimel, and that is the Gemara says if you have houses that go all the way around, I think Rav Shechta drew this diagram, and then you have a roof in order to protect people walking around this little enclosure from door from house to house, or to use the restroom or something, Rav Shechta mentioned, but in the middle you have open air space. So the Gemara discusses, can you put schach over that and use the middle as a sukkah? This, I think in the La Rome, they used to do something like this. It used to be this like, they still do. And there's some, whatever. If you've been there, you know what I'm talking about. If not, forget it. It looks exactly like this. So in order to have walls for the sukkah, the Gemara says that you need, that the tikra should be less than Dalet Amos, then I could say Doif and Akuma, and even though the tikra is Schach Baso, but though I could use the walls of the houses as the Doif and Akuma for the Schach in the middle. So the Gemara asks, even if the tikra is more than 4 Amos away from the walls of the houses, I should have walls for my sukkah because of Pitikra, Yad Vesaisim. Let the edge of the tikra be viewed as a mechitza that comes down and serve for mechitzas for the sukkah. So the Gemara says, you can't say that Pitikra Yad V'Soisim doesn't work to enclose the sukkah because the tikra wasn't made for the sukkah, the tikra was made for the houses. And since the tikra was made for the houses, you can't serve as walls for the schach in the middle. So therefore, in order for this sukkah to be kosher, the tikra has to be less than Dalet Amos, or 7 feet, has to be less than 7 feet long. So Marisha says, oh, you see from here that Pitikra only works for an area for which Tikra Yerid V'Soisim only works. We only say that for an area for which the Tikra was built for, not for an area for which the Tikra was not built for. So therefore, Rabbi Yishu was discussing, this was in the days when there was an elevated train that ran right through Manhattan. He wasn't discussing Brooklyn, he was discussing Manhattan. If you look at the old maps of Manhattan having to do with Erevin, you'll be able to find the picture of what he's discussing. But there used to be an elevated train that ran right across the Lower East Side. So they wanted to use the elevated train as one of the walls of the Mechitza, of the Erevin Manhattan. So Moshe said, I gave it to you over here, Ois Dalet. You have the city, and then an elevated train that goes on top. Like New Utrecht Avenue, if you've ever been there. So the Moshe said, you can't use the platform of the elevated train as a Pitikra Yerid V'Soisim for the enclosure of the Eruv, because the elevated train wasn't made to enclose the area below, it was only made for on top. So many disagreed with Moshe, because, first of all, Ramesh is discussing on top versus below. That's not what the Gemara says. The Gemara is discussing for two adjacent areas, one on the right, one on the left, that the tikra only serves to enclose the area on the right, not the area on the left. Here, first of all, the elevated train, one is on top, one is below. Ramesh is extrapolating from the Gemara. They're really different. And also, who's to say that the platform wasn't made also for the benefit of the people below? But even without all that, that was only with regards to the the closer side of the platform. But I gave it to you, you know, where the arrow is with the two next to it. But where the arrow is with the one next to it, the far side of the platform clearly was made to for the benefit of the people, or was made to enclose the area underneath it. It for sure was made for that. It might not have been made for the city that's adjacent to it, but it was certainly made for the area underneath the tracks. So as long as that is within Eser Amos of the enclosed the area of the city, or even if you just make a Tzuras HaPesach underneath the elevated train tracks to the far edge of the tracks, so then that could serve as a, we say, Pitikra Yerid V'Saitzman, it would work underneath the tracks, and then that would serve to enclose the rest. It could serve as one of the bars of the area. That's why many disagreed with Ramosh, is that being an obstacle to the area of Manhattan. Then Ramosh had his other concerns also, which we discussed last time. Okay, so we have Pitikra, is a more advanced type of Mechitza, Tel Meslakit we discussed. Pushes, as long as it's not a mechitza tluya. Another type of mechitza is called a lechi. A lechi is just a thin piece of material, let's call it wood or some other type of solid material, that's at the edge of an enclosure. So a lechi, let's say this would be the edge of the Erev, I put a lechi over here, and that would be enough, with no other paraphernalia involved. The Gemara says in Gemara in Erev and Adaf Yabez Mebez that a lechi is a mechitza midoraisa. Nonetheless, Chazal limited us from using a lechi in a chatzer, a courtyard. They only allowed it in a mavoi. A mavoi is the courtyard of the courtyard. Look over here, diagram. Hey, chatzer is a courtyard. Let's say you have houses. You have this in housing developments in Florida and stuff like that. You have let's say houses that go around with a courtyard. Houses that go around with a courtyard. There's, you know, A circle, the B circle, the C circle, the D circle, whatever. And then they all open up to a community drive or a community courtyard, which is used by all of the courtyards. And then you have your street, you know, where you will come into your housing development. So the mavoi is the courtyard of the courtyard. So there they allowed a lechi, not by the chatzer, and certainly not by the street. Why did they allow a lechi in that area, not by the chatzer or the street? So Mishnah Brura and Shin Sam Achimos of Kan Kuf Beis quote the name of the Rashba, that that's because people do private activities in the chatzer. You might sunbathe, you might hang out your laundry, you might, you know, have a, you do private things. So therefore, it requires a greater mechitza than a lechi. Lechi is a minimal mechitza. So mavoi, where people don't really do private activities at all in the mavoi, you get away with the lechi. But in the chatzer, where people do private activities, they didn't allow you to use a lechi. The Rama, yeah.
Shouldn't the logic be backwards?
Yes. Okay. That you're making a good argument, but the Rashba is just the opposite. It bears out. I mean, that's the Rama in Shin Sam Akim Osif Chavav. Says, well, not really, because in a regular street, we're not going to use a lechi either. Mavoi was really Rosh Hashayach Midaraisa. They said, you know, you really shouldn't carry there unless you have a tikkun on the Ruach Raviyah. So it's a minimal area, minimal mechitza. If it's a private area that resembles a house, okay, so I need a stronger mechitza. Or certainly the street. We need a real bona fide mechitza. Alechi is, but we need a stronger, more substance.
Also, do we pass in that you have a mavoi in a chatzer?
Oh, so our mavoi writes in Shin Samach, Yom Asif Chavav, we no longer have any mavuos anymore. Everything is a chatzer, therefore, everything now would, alechi would not be good in any of our areas. Why do we have no longer a mavoi? Because people, we don't have this whole, you know, we don't have this kind of system of housing. So the Mishnah Brura asks your question. Mishnah Brura asks, why do we revert then that lechi doesn't work anywhere? If we don't have the system of housing, a lechi should work everywhere. Because we don't do private activities anymore. We don't have this, you know, system of chatzeros and mavuos where people do semi-private activities or less than semi-private activities. We don't have this system. We have houses and streets. So other rabbah, we should say, if we don't have houses and streets, so we should say nobody's doing private activities outside at all. So it should be, everything should be like a mavoi. Nothing should be like a chatzah. The reason a chatzah need a bona fide mechitza, you're doing private activities there. No, there's private activities outside anywhere. You don't hang out your laundry in the street. You don't do sunbathe in the street if you're, you know, normal and sane. So you should, lechi should be good everywhere. So the Chazon Ish explains, that's the Mishnah Berurah quotes this kash from Magen Avraham and things like that. So the Chazon Ish explains, no, what the Rama means is we don't have the whole system of housing anymore. It's not that everything is a chatzer. We don't have, it's not that everything, since we don't have chatzeros, everything becomes a mavoi. The whole system is gone. With chatzeros and mavuos, everything becomes the street, and therefore you need bona fide mechitzas lechi, wouldn't work anywhere. It was a kula that Chazal allowed us to rely on this, like Chazal allowed us to rely on pasi biros for people who are being oil regel. It's a din midorai, so they limited its application. So too, they limited a lechi, even though it's mechitzas midorai, so they limited it to a mavoi, and unless you have a mavoi, you're the street, and it doesn't, you can't get away with a lechi anymore.
And that's true, we don't use lechi anymore?
Never. No, you'll never see a heir that has a lechi. Shulchan Aruch, though in Shin Samach Hey Sif Beis, right? There's a chumrah of a mavoi. The chumrah of the mavoi is that any pirtza that's greater than dalat tfachim, even if you have oimei meruba laparetz, a pirtza of dalat tfachim disturbs a mavoi. Chumrah mavoi. For whatever reason, you could look up, find out the reason. Even though in a regular area it doesn't, as long as you have pirtza, as long as it's less than eser and it's not in Karen Zavis and you have any mubal parts, it's fine. By mavoi, there's a chumra that if it's a pirtza of dalat tfachim, it's a problem. Dalat tfachim, I think. Look it up. Shin samachesiv base. So when we say we no longer have a mavoi anymore, we can't rely on a lechi, do we mean that lakua too? Does that mean there's only the chumra we can't rely on a lechi? Do we mean a lakua? We don't have to be chayshiv for the chumra of a mavoi, and a pirtza of dalat tfachim doesn't bother us. So Mishnah Berurah quotes a machlekes achrayim about that. In the Magen Avraham and the Evin HaEzer, do we not have the kulas of mavoi, but we do have the chumras of mavoi? And when the Rambam said we don't have a mavoi, that only means we don't have the kulas of mavoi, but the chumras of mavoi we should still be chayshish for. So Magen Avraham is machmir, Evin HaEzer was meiko, the Mishnah Yaakov claims we should be machmir. That would limit us. That's what Rav Shechter, when we used to go around the Erev, would mention that in the, at least in the YU Erev, there were many pirtzas. He has pirtzas all over the place. We're jumping from Tzuras HaPesachs to buildings, back to here, back to there. In most community Erev and suburban Erev, there are no pirtzas at all. We'll get to why in a second. But Rav Shechter doesn't have a problem with it. So there's pirtzas all over the place. So in the past, Rav Shechter said, we should really close up the pirtzas to be chayshish for this Magen Avraham. Because even though we don't have a mavoi lekula, we can't use a lechi, maybe we should have a mavoi lechumra. And a pirtz of dalat tfachim should bother us. But then he always would get, we didn't get there on this tour, but on Laurel Hill Terrace, there's a gate, which runs along the bottom of Laurel Hill Terrace, and there's a door in the gate by 187th Street. I remember when it was open. I remember when that gate used to open. We used to do tashluch over there. So Shechter said, we can't, it would be best if we could close up all of the pirtzes in the Erev, but this gate we can't solve, because the gate was always open. So he said, since we can't solve the gate over there, we're always going to have that one pirtza by the gate, it doesn't make sense to close up any of the other pirtzes in the YU Erev either. That's what he used to say when we go around the small YU Erev. So he... But that gate has been closed for every time we get there. We used to get there. We used to say, "Oh, it's locked." It was locked for like the last 15 years. It's been locked. I remember when they locked it because people were selling toys over there. So they were selling drugs down there. So they locked the thing in order to prevent people from selling drugs. It's been closed for 15 years, and every year we used to get there and say, "Oh, it's closed. Now we should close up all of the pirtzas in the YU Erev to be chayshish for this Magen Avraham." Lamai said we'd never be able to close all the pirtzas in the YU Erev because they go over sidewalks and no one's letting us drill into the side of their building, Tzuras HaPesachs. So we're never closing the pirtzas in the YU Erev anyway. But he thought we should be machmir for this Magen Avraham. Then he suggested perhaps a yeshua based on a tshuva from Shlomo Kluger, which is Mamanav Shach, let's just put a lechi there. In each one of these pirtzos, if we would just put a lechi, we should have a manav shach, it's okay. If it's a mavoi, a lechi works. If it's not a mavoi, then we don't have the chumra of a pirtz of dalat tfachim anyway. It shouldn't disturb us. So let's just put but we never did that either. But he suggested that a number of years in a row, let's just put a lechi by all of these pirtzes and that would solve the problem.
Are there even where people are not pirtzes or in general?
And most even don't have pirtzes. Zero.
Really?
Yes. Only in an area of their shechelism. Shechel doesn't have a problem, but as we're going to get to in a second, most people hold the Tzuras HaPesach has to be adjacent to a wall or another Tzuras HaPesach. like the Mishnah Berurah says. Shulchan Aruch writes over here, Shin Samu Beis Sif Aleph, that in order to serve as a mechitza, we discuss some more advanced types of mechitzas. Another, but there's an important rule with regards to mechitzas. Not only can it be a mechitza tluya, it can't be suspended, but it has to be Yachol Lamud Beruach Mitzuya. That's what Shulchan Aruch says over here, Shin Samu Beis Sif Aleph. It has to be able to withstand the normal wind. The Rav Dayan Bloy writes in his Sefer Nesiva Shabbos, encyclopedic work on Hilchos Erevin, that that means a normal wind during that time of the year. For whatever reason, Sukkot is a very windy time. Sukkot also has to be Yachol Lamud Beruach Mitzuya. Every time you're building Sukkot, it's just a windy time of year. Then that becomes a Ruach Mitzuya. You can't say, well, in the whole summer it wasn't this windy. No, if in Chicago it's always that windy, then that's called a Ruach Mitzuya for that part of the country, for that time of the year, whatever is a normal wind for that part of the year. It has to be able to withstand. Lechi also, the Shulchan Aruch says in Shin Samach Gimel Sif Hei, not only a regular mechitza, fences be Yachol Lamud Beruach Mitzuya, but a lechi also to be Yachol Lamud Beruach Mitzuya. The Mishnah Berurah writes, if Kohen Chof sold to a Tzuras at Pesach, has to be Yachol Lamud Beruach Mitzuya. Nonetheless, the Mishnah Berurah writes, if Kohen Chof Aleph, that if a lechi is the bottom tent, a lechi, the minimum height is 10 tefachim. What if on the bottom 10 tefachim it's Yachol Lamud Beruach Mitzuya, it doesn't sway back and forth in the wind? That's the way the Mishnah Berurah holds. Mishnah Berurah's opinion, both in Hilchos Sukkah as well as in Hilchos Mechitzas for Erevin, is Eino Yachol Lamud Beruach Mitzuya means it billows back and forth in the wind. Very relevant for the canvas sukkah. If it billows back and forth, even if it doesn't blow up in the wind, that's called Eino Yachol Lamud Beruach Mitzuya. If it's sturdy, stands still in the wind, that's called the Yachol Lamud Beruach Mitzuya. Has an issue. It's a different definition, but that's the definition of the Mishnah Berurah. So let's say the top of the lechi wags back and forth in the wind. The bottom part is sturdy. So Mishnah Berurah says, then that's okay. What about a turn? Yeah?
What's the distance?
Yeah, Mishnah Berurah doesn't give a shear. Many people say three tefachim. I don't know why.
In one direction or both?
Assumption is three tefachim in either direction. From the canvas sukkah discussion. What if, what about the Tzuras HaPesach? Tzuras HaPesach also has to be Yachol Lamud Beruach Mitzuya. But 1 minute, what about the top part of the Tzuras HaPesach? See, by Alechi, it only has to be 10 tefachim. The rest is negligible. Tzuras HaPesach has to go all the way up to the Kana Al Gabeyem. It's a one pole with a string on top. So does it have to go all the way up? It has to be Yachol Lamud Beruach Mitzuya, also only until 10 tefachim. So the Mishnah Berurah, the Shara Tzion, it's Sifka and Yud Aleph over there in Shin Samach Gimel. It says that it has to go all the way up, it has to be Yachol Lamud Beruach Mitzuya. Then he quotes him a machzis at shekel, that no, it's enough if it goes up until 10 tefachim. If it goes up until 10 tefachim, that's Yachol Lamud Beruach Mitzuya, that's fine, even if above 10 tefachim, it's Eino Yachol Lamud Beruach Mitzuya. And his proof is from you can. If you could ignore it, you're saying, I don't need the top part of the Tzuras HaPesach. You're saying, because either way, even if it's puzzle, okay, you could. The Machzis Shekel, though, is going to make a larger argument. His reasoning is, because, yeah, I guess if the bottom, right, exactly. But his argument is, which is basically along the lines of what you're saying, his argument is, what is the top part of the Tzuras HaPesach made out of? The Shulchan Aruch says, we paskin based on our version of the Yushalmi, is it can even be made out of Gemi. And it can even be made out of gemi. The Gemara says in Sechtes Erevin, and the Shulchan Aruch quotes in Shin Samach Beis Sif Yud Aleph, that the kana of a Tzuras HaPesach has to be Yochel HaMidel Shel Kash. It has to be strong enough to hold a minimum size door. That's the two kana min atzad, have to be Yochel HaMidel Shel Kash. How big of a del Shel Kash? If you remember, we have to discuss, he thinks that it has to be able to go the entire distance of the Tzuras HaPesach, or at least half, because you could have saloon doors, you know, on either side. Fine. Rabbi Eider, and this is the opinion of Rabbi Eider, was very prolific in building Erevin. I would say most of the Erevin in New Jersey and Connecticut were built by Rabbi Eider. Now, as Rabbi Eider passed away a number of years ago, people are redoing their Erevin, and they're getting different people to build them. But most of them were built based on the standards of Rabbi Eider. And he published a little kuntris on Erevin, either by Rabbi Heinemann or Rabbi Eider. So Rabbi Eider was of the opinion that it only has to go 10 tefachim, 4 tefachim, the minimum size of Rosh Hashanah. didn't have to be able to hold the doorway all the way down to the other side. Rav Shechter disagreed. He feels it has to be able to hold the doorway that go all the way to down to the other side, but only up until a height of 10 tefachim. Why only up until a height of 10 tefachim? Because the we paskin that the Kanal Gabeim is made out of gemi. A gemi can't hold a door. Doesn't have to be able to hold a door. The only part of the Torah that has to be able to hold a door is the Kanim and Atzad, and only up until 10 tefachim. That has to be Yachal HaMed El Shokash. The top gemi can't be Mamed El Shokash. If Shechter quoted that the Meiri had a different gears than the Gemara in Erevin, maybe the Kanal Gabeim also has to be able to hold the El Shokash like we have over here, the mechanism that makes the door close that is screwed into the top. Maybe the top also has to be able to hold the Del Shokash, and he mentioned Simcha Zisul Brady. Maybe we should switch the Psak and go back to it. Should be able to hold the Del Shokash. No more gemi and string on the Kanal Gabeim, but Lamaisa, that is not the way we paskin. We paskin that it's on top is okay, even though it can't hold the Del Shokash. Why? Because that's one of the reasons why Rav Shechter has a problem skipping poles. If you remember, he discussed this on the Erev Tour. You could have a pole. Let's say in most suburban Erev, they use telephone poles. So they have a pole, 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 pole. So they might have 10 poles going down one street. So a lechi costs money. Let's put one lechi on this pole. We'll get to it in a second. Then put another lechi all the way down the other end of the street. So if Shechter said, if they're all in a straight line, in theory, you could do that. But then you'd have to be, can the telephone pole really hold the door, even if it's very sturdy, can really hold the door that goes, you know, half a mile? Probably not. So that's why Shechter was against skipping poles. We're going to get to the other parts who are against skipping poles for other reasons. Anyway, but the Kanal Gabeim certainly cannot hold the Del Shel Kash. So why? Is that okay? Because the main part of the Torah of Pesach is the Kanim in Atzad, and the Kanim in Atzad up until 10 Tefachim. The rest of it is to fill out the picture. But that's not really the door of the, you know, of the Torah of Pesach. The doorway of the Torah of Pesach, the real Mechitza, is the two Kanim in Atzad up until 10 Tefachim, the Kanal Gabeim, and everything else is just to round out the picture. So too argues Machzis HaShekel. The rest doesn't have to be Yochel Lahama Baruch Mitzuyah. The Kana, the Gemi, is not Yochel Lahama Baruch Mitzuyah. If it's made out of Gemi, of course it's blowing back and forth in the wind. Must be blowing back and forth in the wind if it's made out of Gemi. So he says that's okay, because that's not the real part of the Torah of Pesach. The main part of the Torah of Pesach is the two Kanim and Atzad. This is... according to the... Mishnah Brura's definition of Eino Yachal Lama Baruch Mitzuyah. So it blows back and forth, so the Gemi on top is okay. The Chazon Ish has a different definition of Eino Yachal Lama Baruch Mitzuyah, both in Hilchos Sukkah as well as in Hilchos Mechitza. The Chazon Ish's definition of Eino Yachal Lama Baruch Mitzuyah means that it remains a Kasher Mechitza the entire time. So if you have a Kula by canvas Sukkahs, that if it's blowing back, I'm sorry, the Mishnah Brura held, Eino Yachalam Baruch Mitzuyah means it blows back and forth. So Chazon Ish held, no, Eino Yachalam Baruch Mitzuyah doesn't mean it blows back and forth. It means that it becomes pasul from serving as a mechitza because of the wind. So let's say by a canvas sukkah, what that would mean is that the wall blows up in the air. As long as the wall is tied down, even if it billows in the wind, that's called the Yachalam Baruch Mitzuyah. So it's a kula by canvas sukkahs. But by mechitzas, it's a chumrah. Because Chazon Ish holds that Eino Yochalam Baruch Mitzuyah by Yetzuras HaPesach means if the Kanal Gabeim blows out of the lie of the two poles, now it's no longer considered to be Yetzuras HaPesach. Let's say bushes blow back and forth in the wind. So Mishnah Brura would say if it blows back and forth in the wind, that's called a normal wind. That's called Eino Yochalam Baruch Mitzuyah. Most bushes don't blow back and forth in a normal wind. But according to the Chazon Ish, what it means is the bush would blow down. So by Mechitzos, it's a Kula. By Yetzuras HaPesach, it's a Chumrah. Because once the Chazon Ish says, once the, let's say I have the live two poles here, and the string goes in between the two poles. Once it blows out of the lie of the two poles, the Chazon Ish holds that's not a good Tzuras HaPesach anymore. So now it's pasul.
What would that mean by a kash delos? It has to be a very thick one? I would think most of just blowing the wind anyway.
Delos shall kash blow in the wind? A normal wind? I don't think so. A wicker door will blow in the wind? No. Yeah?
The Rama says that the minhag is just take a chevel or to use chevel as a
so Chazon Ish
would not accept that.
It can't blow in the wind. Even though the Machzis HaShekel said that that's it's okay if it blows in the wind. That's because he holds at the top part of the Torah of Pesach, not the main part of the Torah of Pesach.
But if you combine the chumrah that the top part, I guess has to be
right. No, so the Machzis HaShekel would allow it. because the top part doesn't have to be Yochalama Baruch Mitzuya. But the Chazon Ish, correct. No, I'm misstated. Let me go back and restate like this. Okay, the top part of Machzis HaShekel said the Mishnah Berurah does not have to be Yochalama Baruch Mitzuya. What is called though? Eino Yochalama Baruch Mitzuya. So the Mishnah Berurah says what it means is that that it billows back and forth. Chazon Ish says, no, that's not what it means. It means it becomes pasul from serving as a mechitza. What is pasul from serving as a mechitza for Tzuras HaPesach is if the wire goes out of the lie of the two poles, that's no longer kosher to serve as a Tzuras HaPesach. If normally the string is in the lie of the two poles and a wind blows it out, even if it would be a normal wind, could be the Machzis HaShekel would say that that's okay, because it normally is in the lie of the two poles, but it's Eino Yochalama. Misstating again. Let's go back again. If it's Eino Yochalama Baruch Mitzuya on the top wire, that's kosher. That's kosher. What does Eino Yochalama Baruch Mitzuya mean? So Mishnah Berurah says if it billows back and forth, Chazon Ish says it becomes pasul. What does it become pasul mean? Means if it blows out of the lie of the two poles, then it's no longer kosher for a Tzuras HaPesach. If a wire is out of the lie of the two poles. But since we pass it like the Machzis HaShekel, if that happens on a Kana al-Gabem, it's kosher, right? But on that halacha that the Chazon Ish is Mechadesh, the Chazon Ish says that that's what it means, it means that it becomes pasul. We hold that it happens to be kosher by a Tzuras HaPesach, because the top part of the Tzuras HaPesach is not the main integral part of the Tzuras HaPesach. But because of that halacha that the Chazon Ish says, in order to be a kosher Tzuras HaPesach, the wire that's al-gabeim has to be within the lie of the two poles, so then it becomes a problem skipping poles. Everyone follow what we just said? If the Kana al-gabeim is not Yochalam Baruch Mitzuya, it's kosher. What does it mean? Mishnah Berurah says it billows back and forth. Chazon Ish says it blows out of the lie of the two poles. That's what Eino Yochalam Baruch Mitzuya means. We paskin, it's kosher. But because of that halacha, that if it's out of the lie of the two poles, it's not a kosher Tzuras HaPesach. If it only is not in the lie of the two poles because of the wind, that's okay. But if it would not be because of the wind, it would be because a tree is pulling out of the lie of the two poles, then the Tzuras HaPesach would be a problem. It's only if it's because of the wind that it's kosher. If it would be because the tree is pulling it out of the lie of the two poles, then it would be a problem. So for that reason, most poskim are against skipping poles. Because what happens is, the reason why you skip a pole is, let's say I have one pole for Tzuras HaPesach over here, one pole, look it over here, the second page of the diagram is Ois Ches. So you skip poles, I'm going to have one pole is Al-Gabeim, one pole is Al-Gabeim, the middle pole is not Al-Gabeim, it's Min Atzad. So I'll say, you know, let's just skip that pole, it's Min Atzad on that pole, we can't use it as Tzuras HaPesach. Okay, good idea. The problem is that it pulls it out of the lie of the two poles. And it's not happening because of the wind, where we say, well, the Machzis HaShekel says, if they know Yochalam Baruch Mitzuya in the Kana al-Gabeim, that's okay. It's not because of the wind. It's out of the lie of the two poles permanently. So then that's not okay. The Chazon Ish holds that would be a problem. Rav Schechter argued, and he also has a problem with this, of course, but that's for that reason, many poskim are against skipping poles, because you'll never have three poles exactly in a line. There are always some, the middle pole is always going to pull the wire slightly in one direction or the other. The telephone company tries to build them in a straight line because they don't want it out of the line either. They want them to be in a pretty much straight line, but they're not scientific about it. It's going to pull it out of the line, two poles somewhat. So that's what Rabbi Eider was against skipping poles, not for Schechter's reason, because it has to hold the Del Shalkash that goes all the way to the other end, because he was very machbit about this pole being out of the lie, the middle pole being out of the lie of the two, B pole being out of the lie of the A and C pole. Rav Schechter has argued that he's not as concerned about that because it says in the Gemara they used to use Zemora, they used to use a grapevine for the Kana al-Gabeim. Grapevines are never straight, so it always goes a little bit out of the lie of the two poles. It's always a little bit, somewhat crooked. But how crooked is crooked? I've tried to pin Rav Schechter down for years about this. He'll never give a shear. If it appears crooked to him, it's too crooked. If it doesn't appear crooked to him, it's not too crooked. So it's a judgment call, more or less. That's why, the tree branches, some of them he felt was egregious, some he felt was, negligible. All of them it's best to fix, because if it's pulling it out of the lot of two poles now, a little bit, it will become more over time. So you try and fix them, but if it's... not too bad. You can skip a pole here or there. So Shechter will allow people to skip poles as long as it's not half a mile down the road, but not too much. Some Paiskim didn't have the whole definition of the Chazon Ish. So you could have why can't you have a Kanagabem that's out of the line of the two poles? That's the diagram over here, Oizvav, which is the Tshuva Shari Tzion. Who said that Tzuras HaPesach, the Kanagabem, has to be between the line of the two poles? He said, you know what, you can make an Erev around the whole town with one or four poles. Four poles and just have the wire, if you can't have such a thing engineering-wise, but if you could have a wire that would go in a circle around the whole city, fine. And it would just be two poles, that would be great. Never has to be in the live the two poles, but we don't pass him with that. We pass him. It has to be somewhat, you know, between the live the two poles, but if it will go out of the way a little bit, it wouldn't be such an issue. We should try and minimize that as much as possible. Another issue with mechitzos, before we get to the details of Tzuras HaPesach, and that is that the, where is this? Over here on the bottom of the second page of diagrams, Ois Aleph. Well, you have a larger chatzer, then you have a smaller chatzer. So the Gemara says you can carry in the larger chatzer, not in the smaller chatzer. Why? Because in the larger chatzer, you have Oymi Ruba Laparetz, or solid walls on all four sides. The larger chatzer is open on the fourth side entirely. Why is it open on the fourth side entirely? If you look beyond the wall on the right and on the left, the eastern and western walls, you have Oymi Ruba Laparetz. You have the same walls as the Chatzer Gedoyla. On the bottom wall of the Chatzer Gedoyla should be the top wall of the Chatzer Katana. So the Gemara says you can't do that because the bottom wall of the Chatzer Gedoyla is boxed out from the Chatzer Katana, what we call Siluk Mechitzos. It's Mesuluk Mikan. Rav Shechter thought that should apply in the scenario over here in Ois Tezayin, the bottom left diagram on the second page, where you have a house and then a driveway or an alley on either side. Second page of diagram, number two, but the bottom left corner. So you have a house, which is 100 amos long, and then an alley on either side of 9 amos. So Rav Shechter argued you could carry in area B, because that's Oymi Meruba Laparetz, or solid walls on all four sides. Now you have 100 and 9 on either side, that's fine. But on area A, the alley, you cannot carry an area A. Why? Because even though the front of the house is also 100 amos long, and the top of the alley is only 9 amos long, the top of the alleys are open, are parts mimiluo. The 100 amos that's at the front of the house is boxed out from the alleys by the house, if you see what I'm talking about. It's not adjacent to the area you're trying to enclose. If the house wouldn't be there and you just have the front wall of the house, but the back part of the house wouldn't be there, then you're right. That would be Oymi Ruba Laparetz, just like the backyard. But since there are extra walls, it makes it worse. Now it's boxed out. It's not adjacent to the area you're trying to enclose in the alleyway, so you can't carry in the driveway, but you could carry in the backyard. That's called Siluk Mechitzos. Rav Shechter argued that should apply to another situation, which you have over here, the bottom, which is counterintuitive to many people, the bottom diagram of Ois Yud Zayin. He's basing himself on the Gemara Masechta Sukkah, which discusses the following situation. Of the Sukkah Lamal Me'esar Mama, if you got to the Abdal in Sukkah, Sukkah Lamal Me'esar Mama, it's more than, let's say, it's 21 amos tall, and you have Itztaba that you build in order to kasher the Sukkah. And the Itztaba is blessed down, it's within 20 amos of the Sukkah. So that Gemara says that's kasher, and you can eat over here, it's a kasher Sukkah. Why? As long as it's within 4 amos to this wall, then we say, Daifin Akuma, we view the wall as if it goes like that. However, the Rosh comes from a Ritz Geus that says that this wall has to be less than 10 tefachim tall. If this wall is more than 10 tefachim tall, no good. Why? Because now you can't say Doifin Akuma to relate to this area. This is in a different ground level than this wall. So this wall is no longer adjacent to this ground level. This wall is Mesulak Mikan. Not on the same ground level, therefore it's not adjacent to it. It's like you have a wall that's not adjacent to the area you're trying to enclose. It's on a different ground level, it's no longer adjacent. So if Shechter took this even one step further, and he said in the area, a situation like over here, Ois Yud Zayin, you have wall, and it might be adjacent to another wall, but that next wall is on a different ground level. It's 10 tefachim lower. So now the two walls can't join up with one another. You'll say, Will told me, Rishat was Mechadish just on his tour of the Riverdale Erev. So they were saying to him, but there's no pierces, there's no openings. It doesn't matter. the walls can't join up with one another. If you know Riverdale, it's up and down and up and down and up and down. I'm sure they fixed it by now to conform with the Shefta standards. But they, you have one wall over here, one wall over here. He said, well, the two can't join up. This one is Mesulach Mikan from that one. So this wall can't enclose that area, and this wall can't enclose this area because they're not on the same ground level. Just like that wall can't enclose the sukkah or serve as a wall for the sukkah because it's Mesulach Mikan on a different ground level. Therefore, Shechter also had a problem with Ramesha's walls around Manhattan underneath the George Washington Bridge. That can't serve as a wall for the George Washington Bridge because it's Mesulach Mikan. It's on a different ground level, therefore it's not adjacent to it and can't serve as a mechitza for that ground level. Okay, moving on to Tzuras HaPesach, the Bir Halacha and Shin Sam, which is the most common type of mechitza that we're going to use in our Erevin. Bir Halacha and Shin Sam of Beis Sif Yud has a suffix if Tzuras HaPesach works midoraisa or it only works midorabanan. The Chazanish argued that, of course, it works midoraisa because we find that it works by kelayim. And then Rav Shechter distinguished it might be a difference between a Tzuras HaPesach by kelayim, there's a Tzuras HaPesach hamafsekes, as opposed to a Tzuras HaPesach by erevin, there's a Tzuras HaPesach hamakefes, that's enclosing. But be that as it may, we generally assume that a Tzuras HaPesach works midoraisa. If you would assume a Tzuras HaPesach does not work midoraisa, then that would be another reason you can't use the Tzuras HaPesach for Rishus HaRabim Doraisa. One reason might be because of Asu Rabim Mavatl Mechitzta. Another reason might be you can't use the Tzuras HaPesach if you have Rishus HaRabim Doraisa because Tzuras HaPesach, anyways, only works Midrabanan. So that's one argument that one can make. The Shulchan Aruch, Rav Shechter believes that that issue of whether Tzuras HaPesach works Midrabanan is related to another suffix that the Bir Halacha has in Shin Samach Gimel Sif Yud Aleph with regards to Tzuras HaPesach. And that is because Shulchan Aruch tells us that in order for a lechi to be to use for Shabbos, it has to, you have to be Samach Alav Mibod Yom, meaning you have to, at least Midrabanan, we don't use it as we said, but Midrabanan, lechi is a good mechitza, but you have to be Samach Alav Mibod Yom. You have to declare from before Shabbos that we're using this as a lechi. Otherwise, nobody recognizes it as a mechitza, people ignore it. So you have to declare from before Shabbos we're using a lechi. Do you have to declare by a Tzuras HaPesach that you're being Samach Alav Mibod Yom? I have to declare from before Shabbos we're using a Tzuras HaPesach, or is a Tzuras HaPesach a mechitza even if I didn't declare it as a Tzuras HaPesach? So the Bir Halacha has a suffix in the name of the Prima Gadim about that issue. So if Shechter understood that that suffix is the same suffix whether Tzuras HaPesach works midoraisa or not. If Tzuras HaPesach works midoraisa, then it's a bona fide mechitza. Why should it have to be Samech Alev Mibod Yom? A real wall, a brick wall, not to be Samech Alev Mibod Yom and say this time we're using this as a wall. It's a wall. Not have to be Samech Alev Mibod Yom. It's only a lechi because that serves as a reminder for people not to walk past here on Shabbos. So Rav Shechter understood if Tzuras HaPesach is a dimmi d'rabbanan, maybe then it's like a heker. It reminds people not to walk past here on Shabbos. If Tzuras HaPesach is a dimmi d'raisa, it's not midin heker. It's a real mechitza like every other mechitza. In which case, you don't have to be samach alav mibod yom. So Rav Shechter understood on both of these issues. Once a Tzuras HaPesach is a dimmi d'raisa, or Tzuras HaPesach works, the proof he brought was from an Abnei Nezer, that if a Tzuras HaPesach works, Lamala may Eser Mama, Tzuras HaPesach is not Midin Heker. Even though, that whatever is Lamala may Eser Mama, Lo Shol Ba'ena, nobody looks there. So it's not going to serve as a reminder not to pass here on Shabbat. Tzuras HaPesach, once it works Midai Reise, it's like a regular Mechitza. It's not Midin Heker at all. And therefore, you don't have to be Samech Adam Mibad Yom, and that's why it works, even though it's Lamala may Eser Mama, even though that which is Lamala may Eser Mama, Lo Shol Ba'ena. Since it is, it doesn't require any heker. We're going to get that it's going to have a few nafkaminas later on. There'll be differences between a lechi and a Tzuras HaPesach. You know, let's skip right to that, and then we'll come back to the other issue. The Mishnah Brura, Shari Tshuva, Shin Samach Gimel Sif Chavav, quotes from the Bechar Shar. That's why this Shari Tshuva is on the Mar Mekomis. That Tzuras HaPesach has to have all of the dinim of a lechi. So, for example, the Mishnah Brura says in Shin Samach Gimel Sif Chav Gimel, at least the Kana of the Tzuras HaPesach has to have all the parameters of a lechi. So the Mishnah Brura says that a lechi has to be within three tefachim of a wall. You can't have a freestanding lechi. So too, the Shari Tshuva quotes in the name of the Bechar Shar, you can't have a freestanding Tzuras HaPesach, which was the chiddush that we have over here on 185th Street, a freestanding Tzuras HaPesach. What I mean by that is, it's not attached to a wall on either side. The Mishnah Brura quotes in the name of the Bechar Shar, the same author as the Tefuah Shar, that it has to be within three tefachim of a wall. Just like a lechi has to be within three tefachim of a wall. Huh?
Isn't there also a Chayadam which says that and the Mishnah Brura and the Bir Halacha rejects it as well?
No. The Shari Tshuva also quotes from the Makor Chaim. The Shari Tshuva quotes the name of the Makor Chaim. Maybe this is what you have in mind. Does it have to be adjacent to a wall on both sides? Or does it only have to be adjacent to the wall on one side? So there are those who are machmir. That's two opinions in the Mishnah Berurah over there. There are those who are machmir that has to be on both sides. Some say it's enough if it's one. I think the Makor Chaim says only enough on one side. Others are machmir that it has to be on two sides. It's a discussion that the Shari Tshuva has also in Shin Samach Gimel over there.
In Shin Samach Gimel,
Chav Gimel, that's what I just quoted.
Right, so what does he say?
That's a lechi. Lechi.
He says the hechi, right?
A lechi has to be within three tefachim of a wall. So the Bechar Shor, which is quoted by the Shari Tshuva, extends that to a Tzur Sa Pesach. Yeah? Should Rabbi Kiva Eger against the Bechar Shor? Oh, so he's Mekel B'Shas Adchak. Yesh L'smokho HaKel. But L'chadchil should be Machmer. The Tzarech Lamed Lechi Eitzel HaKoysel. Yeah, so the Dechai Yodim is Machmer.
Right,
but... U'didi Tzarech Yon Gam Bazeh. K'mesh B'Yodim L'chadchil B'Vadei Nochon L'Oshel HaHachmer Afil B'Rochel Shloish Shetfachim Min HaKoysel. So he's Machmer like the Bechar Shor.
Meaning that...
You can't ever break a more than three Tfachim between a Tzur Tzapesek and the wall.
But we don't.
The Shechter felt, why should it have to be within three tefachim of the wall? Because it's midin heker. A lechi is the midin heker, so it has to be within three tefachim of the wall to serve as a reminder that people shouldn't pass. So Shechter argued, why should we import all of the halachas of a lechi to a tzuz apetzel? Tzuz apetzel bona fide mechitza. It doesn't have the same chumras as a lechi, which is only partially midin heker. It's a mechitza, but it also has to be within a... You have to be samach alav mibodion. You have to declare that we're relying on it from the day before because it's partially midin heker. So it's a pesach that doesn't have these chumras.
We don't pass him that it has to be, do we?
That's why. So most Erevin follow the Mishnah Berurah and the Bechar Shor, and every Tzuras HaPesach on both sides is within three tefachim of a wall. That's why they have no breaks. Because since most Erevin, if they would have a fence... You can have a break from fence to fence. Most community suburban Erevin, even if they use a fence, there's no breaks in the fence.
Right.
It's all Tzuras HaPesachs. So Tzuras HaPesachs always have to be adjacent to a wall. So mainly you have no breaks in the Mechitza. No breaks in the Erev. In the Washington Heights, Mount Sinai Erev, which was built by Machon Norah, there's no breaks. Whereas in the YU Erev, there are breaks. Because they don't... Rav Shechter doesn't subscribe to the Chumra of the Bechar Shor. The Makor Chaim, okay, we'll get back to that other part. There's another Chumra by Lechi, which is quoted by the Mishnah Berurah, by the Shulchan Aruch, Shin Samach Gimel Sif Yud Beis, and that is that a Lechi cannot be more than four Amos. I think this is four Amos. I always get confused for Tefachim and four Amos. I believe this is four Amos. Why? Because, if it's more than four Amos, that's possible to be a lechi. So again, many held that chumrah should apply to Tzuras HaPesach too. Here, Rav Shechter sides with the Bechor Shor, sides that chumrah by Tzuras HaPesach too. The kind of a Tzuras HaPesach cannot be more than four amos wide. Rav Shechter rejects again importing one of the halachos of lechi to Tzuras HaPesach. But here, this one he accepts for a different reason, because the Gemara tells him in Masechtas Yuma that a Tzuras HaPesach that is lachzuke tikra is not considered Tzuras HaPesach for mezuzah. If the Tzuras HaPesach is not here to serve as a doorway, it's only put here in order to support the roof. You have this oftentimes in a living room, where you have archways that don't separate between rooms. It's just there to support the roof. So if it doesn't separate between a rooms, strictly speaking, really doesn't need a mezuzah. Even if though it has the whole dimensions of a doorway, if in the middle, that's something you have sometimes wood rafters or older homes, and they have poles to support the roof. If it's there just to support the roof, you don't need to put a mezuzah there for Tzuras HaPesach, because it's not considered a Tzuras HaPesach. What about by Erevin? If it's lachzuke dik or just to hold the roof, is that considered to be a Tzuras HaPesach for Erevin or not? So the Mishkanes Yaakov says by Erevin also, it's not considered to be a Tzuras HaPesach. If it's just Lapsuke Tikra. So many Achronim understood this Chumrah, or this Psak of the Mishnah Yaakov, that we import the Halacha of Lapsuke Tikra from Mezuzah to Erevin as well, as being the following. And that is that a Tzuras HaPesach has to be built for the purpose of Tzuras HaPesach. If it's built to support the roof, that's not good as a Tzuras HaPesach. So that's why the Mishnah Berurah quotes from the Shaarei Tzion and from the Shvus Yaakov that they had a problem. I'm sorry, the Taras Chesed, Shvus Magal, others, problem using telephone poles as a Tzuras HaPesach, even if it's constructed properly, because it wasn't made for the purpose of the Tzuras HaPesach. It was made for a different reason. So maybe that should be no good. And then others disagree. They know even if it wasn't made, maybe we don't import the whole chumrah of Lachzuke Tikr from Mezuzah to Tzuras HaPesach. They said even if it's built for a different reason, it should be okay. We don't import the whole chumrah in the first place. Rav Shetra understood the chumrah of, or the halacha of Lachzuke Tikr entirely differently. Not that it has to be made for the purpose of Tzuras HaPesach. The way he understood it is that structure cannot be, Tzuras HaPesach has to be a separate structure from the doorway. If it's there to, you know, the, support the roof, that's part of the structure of the home. Part of the structure of the home cannot serve as a doorway. The doorway has to be a separate structure from the home itself. Like this doorway is not supporting the roof, meaning a separate structure from the house. If it's the same structure as the house, it can't serve as a kanah for the Tzuras HaPesach. So the Mishnah Berurah quotes this from the Magen Avraham, that a house itself cannot serve as a kanah for the Tzuras HaPesach. If you look over here, where is this? Oh, on the page 3 of the diagram, you'll see that there's a kana agabem on two sides of a long wall. Or if you would, so the wall is like a structure. I mean, it's part of the house. The house itself can't serve as a kana minatzad. It has to be something separate from the house. Or if I would just put four wires on top of four homes, you can't call that a kana minatzad. It has to be something that's separate from the structure. That's why Rav Shechel was opposed to using the Tzuras HaPesach in the middle of the George Washington Bridge, because that's a part of the structure, not something separate and distinct from the structure. That's how Rav Shechel understood the problem of Lach Zuke Tikr. If it's part of the structure, then that's a problem. This becomes an issue, let's say over here, in the diagram Yud Ches. So you can have a kanamin atzad over there with a wire and a kanam agabeyam of the Tzuras HaPesach, and it's drilled into the house. So what are you going to do in order to make it as a kosher Tzuras HaPesach? You'll put a kanam agabeyam below the wire. We have it over here in Belfer Hall. If you're walking by Belfer Hall, you can see there's a Tzuras HaPesach that's drilled into Belfer Hall with a kanamin atzad, a piece of wood that's against the building of Belfer Hall. So the Ramah says, even though that little piece of wood that's over there can't support a delo shel kash, it's attached to the building, and the building can support a delo shel kash, so that's good for a kanah min atzad. That's why some, it's good for a lechi, he's discussing lechi. So that's why some use as a kanah min atzad, Rabbi Heinemann uses reflector strips in this type of situation, or just even a second layer of paint. That's what the Ramah describes. That could serve as a kanah min atzad, even though the second layer of paint or reflector strip cars don't hit it, can't support a delo shel kash, but it's screwed into a wall. The wall can support a delo shel kash, so that's okay. And that's what you have over here by Belfer Hall. However, Rav Shechter has argued with this psak of the Ramah, even though the Ramah is quoting from a Trumas HaDeshin, and the Mishnah Berurah says the same should be true for a Tzuras HaPesach. Rav Shechter has argued that the wall, the building, can't be a kanamin atzad. The building is a structure. A structure can't be a kanamin atzad. The kanamin atzad has to be something distinct from the structure. And that thing that's distinct from the structure is what has to be able to support a delo shel kash. So that's why Rav Shechter has argued that pole that's attached to the wood slat that we have over here, he would not be happy with now. I mean, I don't know if he was consulted when they built it, but he wouldn't be happy with it. This was one of his issues that he had with the Mount Sinai Erev, is that they had these wooden slats attached to buildings. So he told them they have to get metal boxes, and that's what they have over there now in the Mount Sinai Erev, that could support a delo shel kash that would go the length of the Tzuras HaPesach. The metal box, if it's cemented into the ground or attached to the building, but the metal box itself is sturdy, that it can hold the door. That's what he felt needed to be done in order to kasher as a Tzuras HaPesach. Most of our Erevin are built with a telephone pole, and then we have tubing that runs up the side of the telephone pole, and you have a kana al gabeim that goes on top of the tubing. So here, even though the tubing can't support like this metal plastic capping, if you've ever seen it, can't support it, but it's attached to a telephone pole. The telephone pole could be the kana min atzad. That's not a structure. That's not a building. But a building of Shechter felt is a structure, and that cannot serve as a kana min atzad. So Rav Shechter, getting back to where we started over there, one of the halachos of a lechi is it cannot be more than Daud Amo, 7 feet long. So the Makor Chaim, the Bukhar Shor, imported that to Tzuras HaPesach too. So Rav Shechter feels we should not import the chumers of lechi to Tzuras HaPesach, but over here he has a problem with a kanam in atzad that's more than 4 amos wide, because even, not because of halachos of lechi, once it's more than 4 amos wide, that's already a structure, and a kanam in atzad cannot be a structure independently, like a house. It has to be something that's distinct from the structure. So for that reason, look over here, is Zion, Yud Zion, I don't know why it's Yud Zion, but on page 3 of the diagrams, you have fencing, which is open. So can we call that a Tzuras HaPesach? So Shechter would say no, because the fencing is a structure, and it's more than 4 amos wide. That can't serve as a kanam atzad. The Bechor Shor would also say no, because he imports the halachos of lechi to Tzuras HaPesach. That would be no good. But what about Os Tezvav? You want to use one of the poles of a fence for a kanam atzad of a Tzuras HaPesach. So even though it's a distinct pole, that pole is there to hold up the chain link fence. So if Shechter holds, he cannot use a kanam atzad for a Tzuras HaPesach. We had this issue in Pesach. They were using a pole for a Tzuras HaPesach, but in order to support the pole, they put it inside the fencing pole. They opened up the cap of the fencing pole and they put it inside. So Shechter thought that was a problem. We can't use the fencing pole for the kanam atzad, so they had to take the pole out and cement it or whatever, you know, out of the fence down to a separate pole that could be used as a kanam atzad. So the pole of a fence can't serve as a kanam atzad. That would be part of the structure, and he had a problem with that. In order to serve as a good Tzuras HaPesach, it has to be adjacent to the area that you're trying to enclose. It cannot be a Tzuras HaPesach that's Achurei HaKosel. That's the diagram over here. This is discussed by the Shari Tshuva in Shin Samach Gimel Sif Chavav. That's the diagram. Where is it? Over here on page 4 of the diagrams. Page 4 of the diagrams. Diagram tests. On the left, that's a Tzuras HaPesach, that's Achurei HaKosel. It's behind a wall. Or diagram test, the bottom right. That's Achurei HaKosel. Or the upper left of Ois Tess, also Achurei HaKosel. Because it's not adjacent to the area that you're trying to enclose. Upper right should have been good. It is adjacent to the area you're trying to enclose, but there we'd say, you might say, Asi Aviru the high, no, because that's separate area. So that should be okay. The upper right one should be okay. The bottom left one, Rav Shechter felt and Chazanish feels, that's not called Achurei HaKosel. Even though you have a wall in between, that's not Achurei HaKosel. What the Chazanish understood Achurei HaKosel to mean is that it has to be adjacent to the area that you're trying to enclose.
So if the wall would be there first, that'd be a problem for another reason, no?
Why?
Because
Silak Mechitza. Oh, so that's only if it's a Rishus HaYochid. It's Mesulak Mikan. Here, it's just a wall. It's not a Rishus HaYochid that's enclosed. Rabbi Heinemann is machmir for what you said. No wall can go underneath any Tzuras HaPesach. Rav Shechter doesn't believe in that. As we get to the one second. So, but that's not called Achurei HaKosel. Rabbi Heinemann is machmir, no mechitzas underneath the Tzuras HaPesach, but not Rav Shechter. The reason why Rabbi Heinemann is machmir for that is because this is the way it's presented by the Shari Tshuva, is that Achurei HaKosel is a problem because you can't see the other side of the Tzuras HaPesach. It's not Nikar. So again, Rav Shechter said, well, who said the Tzuras HaPesach has to be Nikar? Tzuras HaPesach, l'mam eser mam is okay. You don't have to be samach alav mibayit yoyim. It's all fine. You don't need heker. It's not the same as a lechi. So it's not a problem of heker. It would never be an issue. This issue is related, so that's why he would hold that's okay. Other parts he might hold it's a problem. Those who import halachas of lechi, Tzuras HaPesach might hold it's a problem. Having a mechitza underneath the Tzuras HaPesach disrupted, that's called Achurei HaKosel. He understood Achurei HaKosel as being a din of heker. If there's a mechitza in front, how can I see what's behind? Rav Shechter understood, like the Chazon Ish, they know that there's no heker needed by Tzuras HaPesach. It's because it has to be adjacent to the area you're enclosing, like Siluk Mechitzas, that whole issue we discussed before. There's another halacha called the Makor Chayim that you cannot have a Tzuras HaPesach, a kind of a Tzuras HaPesach in Rishus HaYachid. This comes up all the time. Most suburban Erev in this issue comes up at one point or another. So over here, Ois Yud, you get page 4 of the diagrams, you can see what that looks like. Or it goes through someone's backyard. So the Makor Chayim is machmir that that's a problem. The Shechter quoted the Chavetzelos HaSharon, and he quoted the name of Mendel Zaks, that who held that the minig was to be Mako. Many Erevin, that is the minig, to be Mako on this this issue.
Really? We are Mako?
Many are Mako, yeah. Most Erevin use this at one point or another. If you can avoid it, you can avoid it. Most Erevin try and avoid it, but sometimes it's just impossible.
That means even that pole that we saw in the Erev when it went over the garbage dump?
Certainly over. It's just like, we'll get to that in 1 second. So the Avnei Nezer, there's two reasons, two suggestions why this is no good. One suggestion is because it's not Nikar. I can't see the Tzuras HaPesach. I was going to remind people not to pass it. Rav Shechter does not like that reason. That's why the Avnei Nezer says, maybe if it sticks up so high out of the Rishus HaYachid, it's 20 amas, you know, the 10 amas tall, I can see it. Everyone can see for miles. Maybe that's okay. So that's what many allow in Rishus HaYachid. Maybe holding it in Rishus HaYachid is not a problem. And certainly if it sticks up high out, it's Nikar now. It's not a problem. Shechter does not subscribe to that reason. He never thinks the Tzuras HaPesach needs Heker or ever. You don't have to be Samach Alav Mudiyam. The reason why this is a problem is because it's Misulak Mikan. Like Silak Mechitzah, it's in a different Rishus. It's boxed out. So that's why Rav Shechter never feels that it's okay. And Rav Shechter was machmir also, if you turn back to Ois Gimel, page 3 of the diagrams, Ois Beis, top right diagram, you can't have a Tzuras HaPesach that goes over a house, that goes over a Rishus HaYachid, or that goes over a dumpster. All of these issues might be an issue because you have a Rishus HaYachid underneath the Tzuras HaPesach. Many Paiskim were Mako for that because the Tzuras HaPesach is Nikar. If the whole concern is that it would be Nikar, then many Paiskim were Mako for that.
So on all these
but there issues, are those who are Machmer, yeah.
On all issues that have to do with like overlapping Rishus HaYachid and Tzuras HaPesach.
That's all based in this Makor Chayim, yeah.
If someone is long or Rishus HaYachid even though it's not fenced in?
No. No. But sometimes you have telephone poles and only telephone poles in someone's backyard. It just didn't happen. And you can't reboot the Erev, you know, so whatever. Nothing you can do about it. If Shechter feels that the Erev is no good, he will never give his approval to an Erev that has Tzuras HaPesach in a backyard, but I'm just letting you know what goes on out there. It's many I may go on this. Everyone tries to avoid it. Everyone. Sometimes it's just not possible. We just have to cause a few more lots of Tzuras HaPesach, then we'll try and wrap it up. The Shulchan Aruch, I apologize for going a little over. The Shulchan Aruch over here in Shin Samar Beis Sif Yud Aleph says in order for a Tzuras HaPesach to be kosher, it has to be al gabeim. It can't be min atzad. Oftentimes, telephone wires, if you look over here at the diagram Dawid, you see telephone wires often run on the side of telephone poles. So what is on top, oftentimes, sometimes you have rarely wires that just happen to go on top of a telephone pole. They just run al gabeim. It's rare because most of the times they screw the wires into the side. Usually the min atzad. So, and always, we usually are going to want to use the air wires on the bottom. The wires on the bottom, the thick black wires, are telephone wires. They're not, you can't get electrocuted by those. The upper wires are electrical wires, which you could get electrocuted. So no one who's building air oven wants to deal with electrical wires. They want to deal with the telephone wires. It's just, the worst comes to worst, someone loses their telephone for, you know, a few minutes. Less of a concern. So, but they're always min atzad. So what are we going to do? We're going to have to run a tubing along the side that will become part of the pole, and the wire will go al gabeim of that tubing. Rav Shechter argued, again, the tubing should really blend in to become part of the pole, because it has to be yachal hamadel shokash together with the pole. So he's argued in the past that it should be made of the same material as the pole. So in Tinek, I know for part of it, Rabbi Talbis tried to make at least the bottom 10 tefachim out of wood in order to make Rav Shechter happy that it's like blending in to become part of the pole. I've never seen it anywhere else, but that's what, at least I think, I don't know if it's the whole Tinek area, but part of the Tinek area, if he tried to build the bottom 10 tefachim out of wood, should blend in to become part. Now it's Yochel Lahamidol Shokash.
But isn't that the part that we're using as the Kanan Mikan? We're not using the entire pole because of the fact that
yeah, okay.
So, what's Rav Shechter's
svara? Because it has to blend in to become part of the pole in order to be Yochel Hamidel Shokash. We need the telephone pole. The tubing can't hold anything. You screw the door into the tubing, it would fall down. So it has to be screwed into the pole. So this, but it's not al-gabeim of the pole. It's al-gabeim of the tubing. So, well, the tubing is part of the pole. Oh, yeah? If the tubing is part of the pole, first of all, it better be hugging the pole. Second of all, it should be made out of the same material as the pole. I hear why he says that. I might disagree. And he won't enforce the issue either. If you remember, we had the wooden slat that was al gabeim of the metal pole, right, attached to the metal pole. And he, you know, he signed off on that. So, but that's what he suggested. So Rav Taubes, a good Talmud, was trying to make himself happy by making the bottom part, at least al gabeim. So that's what we use as a tubing. It has to be, though, al gabeim of the wire. And he, look at the Dalet, diagram Dalet on page 4. It's underneath the bracket that's holding the wire. That's no good. It has to be underneath the wire itself. So you have to pull it out a little bit to be underneath the wire. Look at Vav. Sometimes you have to pull the tubing out to be underneath the wire. It's a common issue in Erevin. Sometimes the wire is a little bit off because they have a bracket that holds the wire. The wires are not hugging the pole often. Sometimes they are, sometimes they're not. So you have to pull it out. If you look at the diagram above, you'll see oftentimes, and then you have to brace. Sometimes the guy will pull it out, but it'll go right back when he leaves, you know, the contractor. So you have to make him put, you know, wooden blocks behind it to make sure that it really is stuck there underneath the wire. It gets complicated. Oftentimes, a good eitzah is to put little white caps. It's hard to, for the guy who's checking the air to get out and see, well, is it al gabeim of the wire every time? So it's a good idea to have little white caps, and the white caps should be like right underneath the wire. That way it's easily recognizable, and you can see that it's al gabeim. Huh?
What exactly is the issue we're discussing? I know in general you're putting the
Do you want to run a tube up, but the wire, let's say I have my telephone pole here, the wire's over here. Yeah. I'm running a tube up here, the wire's out here, because there's a bracket. How do you get it al gabeim? So you have to pull the tubing off a little bit to get it underneath the wire that's al gabeim.
And that part sticking out is enough.
Yeah, at least it's al gabeim of that part. It can't be curved too much. We'll get to that in a minute. Then the Kahneman Atzad can't be at an angle too much, but if it's curved a little bit, it's okay.
But if it was under 4 amos, you could make it thicker.
I didn't give that shear. You gave that.
For tzach, what was the shear that we said that it can't be wider than?
Amos.
That's what I'm saying.
You're important. That's a separate halacha. That means the telephone pole can't be wider than 4 amos. I mean that the Kahneman Atzad can't be wider than 4 amos. I'm talking about it curving a little bit. It's not so wide, it's just curving.
I'm asking, why can't you just make it wider at the bottom?
Really? You want to make gigantic things? We can't even get tubing put on in half these cities. We have lawsuits against us. And you want to put like barrels underneath every telephone pole? In Yerushalayim, they have barrels underneath some of the poles of the Kahneman Atzad. So if we were running the Medina, we could do that. But oftentimes we can't even get this little tubing that's like, you know, that the telephone company is using. We can't even get underneath over there. The Taz, quoted by the Mishnah Berurah of Kahn Samuel Talat, says if it's close to the top, that's good enough, even if it's not exactly on top, like the diagram Aleph. You know, if it's close to the top. We don't pass like that. Close to the top is good enough. Or if it's flush with the top, like if it's like this, even though it's not al gabeim, the Taz holds that's okay. We hold no, it has to be on top in order to be kasha. What about the diagram hay? It's not al gabeim of the bottom part, it's al gabeim of the top part, but not the bottom part. And the bottom part doesn't go all the way to the ground. It only is attached to the bottom, to the bottom bar. Is that called al gabeim? So Shechter's argued that that's called al gabeim. It's actually already found in Makor Chayim, the Chazanish. That's called al gabeim as long as it's going in the same general direction. This comes up a lot in certain communities. They rely on it's a bad diagram, but I have to draw it because I have a picture of it, but I can give it to you. Over here, it's hay, where you have a little pole that comes up out of the top of the, you can see them along Route 4 if you watch, have a little pole that comes out of the top of the telephone pole. There's a cap, like a mushroom, it looks like, on top, and there's three slots where the wire can go, A, B, and C. So if Shechter held, if it's in A, that's not al gabeim. If it's in B or C, then that's al gabeim, because the cap is wider than it is long. So the cap is not an extension of the bottom pole, but the little pole, you know, that extends up out, that's longer than it is wide. That is an extension of the bottom pole. So then if it's in B, that's al gabeim of that bottom pole. That's the same as hay. You know, it's the same as the right diagram over there. That's called al gabeim, if you see what I'm talking about. I know one city, I can't tell you where, they totally misunderstood what Rav Shechter said. Every wire was an A, slot A, and they thought that was kosher. Ay, they had to redo the whole thing. Anyway, I don't know how long they were relying on it for. The whole community is dwindled by now. I don't know how many Jews there are anyway. But that was what they were relying on. That's he misunderstood what Shachta told him. But anyway, but if it's in B or C, then that's okay. There are Paiskim who will reject this. They hold that's not called Al Gabeim unless it's Al Gabeim of the bottom pole. This is one of the coolers of Rav Shechta. Like in many Erevin that Rabbi Heinemann built or Rabbi Eider built, they would never rely on this. But Rav Shechta believes it's okay. I found already it's in Makor Chayim, the source perhaps for it in the Chazanish as well. Even though, okay. What about, though, Gimel? Gimel is different. That's not good. Why? Because there it's wider than it is tall. You can't call that an extension of the bottom pole. Even though it's Al Gabeim of the top part, that's not the same as hay. You see what I'm talking about, Rabbi? That's the because that's wider than it is tall. We can't call that an extension of the bottom pole. No one would accept that that's okay. There was an Erev that was built using that kind of argument, but later that Erev was changed. That's no longer considered to be valid. What about if it drilled through the pole? Look at its base. You find this a lot in Erevin. Because in order to keep poles straight, the telephone company does like braces. They drill support wires into the poles. And like, how do you keep braces straight? You put metal things around to hold them steady. That's also how the dentist tightens the teeth, but it holds them all in place. So that's how they hold. They have tension wires to hold all the telephone poles in place. And in place of wind, they're not just standing in the ground. They have a wire that holds them, you know, there's tension between them. Why don't they just use that with the telephone wire? Because telephone wires will snap if you do that once in a while. They don't want that. They give them a little weed to blow, you know, they should blow in the wind. But they put these metal support wires in between the telephone poles. And they're drilled through the telephone pole. And there's a bolt that comes in the other side. So is that called Al Gabeim? It's drilled through the pole. So it's above the bottom part of the pole, not above the top part of the pole. So Mr. Brewer holds that's no good. It has to be above. It can't be anything on top of the wire. If there's something on top of the wire, that's not called Al Gabeim. And the Mr. Brewer, though, quotes from a Makor Chayim that is okay. Because it's Al Gabeim of the bottom part of the pole. If it just is like nailed in, like the left-hand image in Bays, that's not good. It doesn't go through and through. So then that's not called Al Gabeim, that's called Minatzad. But if it goes through and through, like in the right-hand diagram of Bays, that is kosher. And you can see, if it comes a bolt on the other side, you can see that that's okay. Then Mishnah Berurah believes that that's a problem, and then the Mishnah Berurah quotes in the Makor Chayim that that's Al Gabeim of the bottom part. The rest, we can say, Dalmehach, we ignore it. The Chazon Ish is Mekel, the Mishnah Berurah is Machmir. Different Paiskim take different positions on this. Rabbi Eider and Rabbi Heinemann don't rely on this. They try and avoid this. But again, Rav Shechter here is Mekel. He has a whole bunch of Chumras in Erevin. This is one of the things that he's Mekel on. The two-part pole as well, that he holds that this is okay. The Chazon Ish though says if you have a tapered pole, that's no good. Even though it's a bit of a part of it, but if you have a pole that goes like this, and the wire is wrapped around, that's not called Al Gabeim. Even though it's Al Gabeim of this part, not Al Gabeim of this part, he holds still that that's not good. It doesn't look like Al Gabeim. It looks like it's Minatzad. What about, though, the diagram at the top of Aleph? You have a nail, and you tie the string around the nail. Would the Mishnah Berurah say that that's no good because it's only around this, something that's above it? So the Mishnah Berurah himself says, no, that's okay. The nail is something else. The nail doesn't blend into become part of the pole. However, there are places the truth is Blaise Shlomo who holds you have to bang in the nail. It has to be on the tippy-tippy top. Or Aaron Salvechik was machmer like that. It has to be on the tippy-tippy top. There can't be anything above it. The kana min atzad doesn't have to go all the way up to the kana al gabeim. So in theory, you could just put, let's say, a bottom with the diagram. Where is it? If you look back at look over here on page 2, I gave you diagram yud beis. You could have a kana min atzad that doesn't go all the way up to the kana al gabeim. You could do that. You don't have to have it go all the way up. So in our Erevin, where we're using the telephone wires, could you just get away with a little wooden slat that's 10 tefachim tall, and that's underneath the wire that's on top? In theory, you could. In theory, you could.
What's holding this up in this conceptual? Is it like,
huh?
What's holding this up?
Oh, there could be a house next to it. If you look over here, let's say, that's what I didn't give you, but if you look at page 3, you'll see in Os Yud Ches, that's your typical situation of that. It's drilled into the house, Kane minatzad, which is al gabeim, is two is lower down. Okay, we'll turn back to page two because we're going to come back to there in a second.
Real brief, two sides or one side?
Both sides have to be al gabeim. Yeah? But it doesn't have to reach all the way up. So could you get away with a little wooden slat that's out underneath the telephone wire? In theory, you could. There's a big problem with that though. The problem is, how do you know it's underneath the wire that's on top? It might, is it just like a stab in the dark? Can you say with absolute certainty that it's underneath or not? So it's a machlekes ha-poiskim, of contemporary poiskim. How do you tell if it's al gabeim or not? Do you have to drop a plumb line? Plumb line is you hold a little weight attached to a string, and it'll tell you by the pull of gravity where it lies, or in our modern times, a level with a laser pointer. Do I have to make sure that it's the pull of gravity is literally underneath, or is it enough if I just eyeball it? So some poiskim held, it's enough if you eyeball it. The Rif Salvechik held like that. Rav Moshe held, it's enough if you eyeball it. Other poiskim held that you actually have to drop a plumb line. Rav Schechter felt that there was validity perhaps to both, but I think even according to Rav Schechter, and this is a compromise that I later heard in the name of Zalman Chaim Goldberg, eyeballing it has to be, even if you're going to go with that position, it has to be that it's not debatable. Meaning, this looks like it's al-gabeim. I've been on many times where if you're paying for the Eruv, everything looks like it's al-gabeim. If you're not paying for the Eruv, and you're not the Nogea Bedavar, I don't know if it's al-gabeim. Maybe it is, maybe it isn't. I've had many arguments with the Rabbanim. Is it al-gabeim? Is it al-gabeim? So if you're going to do with the eyeballing it, I think it has to be clear as day that it's al-gabeim. It can't just be that it's debatable, like a stab in the dark. It's our best guess. It has to be clear that it's al-gabeim. And many times, if the poles are tilted a little bit, the al-gabeim could be a few feet away from the telephone pole. So that's why a solution is to run tubing all the way up. That's why I don't, real Erevin in the metropolitan area should not have small, short lechis. They should have lechis that go all the way up to the telephone wires, and that way you're sure it's al-gabeim. What if you have a short lechi? Can you have something that's mafsik in between, like the telephone, like the utility box? I gave it to you over here, page 4. There's a utility box underneath the telephone wire, in between the telephone wire and your short lechi. So the Taz was machmir on that. And many are, by the way. Most Erevin are machmir for that. Rav Schechter didn't think that we have to be machmir for the Taz. The Mishnah Berurah already has many kashas on the Taz. So he would be willing to be meiko on that. Other poiskim are more machmir on it. But if there's just other wires in between, the kana min atzad, and the wire which we want to use as the Erev, there's just other wires, no one's going to hold that that's mafsik. But if there's a utility box in between, that would be a problem. Just two more things. One is that the Gemara says in Maseches Erevin, you cannot have a Pischei Shamoi, is no good for a Turas HaPesach. That's the diagram on page 2, which is Oz Vav, where you have one brick in, one brick out. That's called Pischei Shamoi. The Mordechai, though, extends this to anything which is Shelo Kedah Avdi Inshi. That's not what the Gemara is talking about. But the Mordechai, that's the way Rashi learns the Gemara is Oys Vav. Mordechai extends it to anything which is Shelo Kedah Avdi Inshi, and the Mishkan is Yaakov subscribes to that Chumra of the Mordechai. That's why the Chazon Ish held you can't have Lovud in a Kana Min Atzad. It has to go all the way to the ground, which, by the way, that's a most people, most Erevin are not machmir for that. That's a Rav Schechter Chumra. So any Erev that is built by Rav Schechter, it's a Chazon Ish, but most are not unaware of it. So that's based on the Mordechai that has to be Kedah Avdi Inchi. Rabbi Wilk is not machmir for this because he says, 1 minute, the Turas HaPesach works in a Pischa B'Keren Zavis. How can it work in a Pischa B'Keren Zavis? Nobody makes the doorway in a Pischa B'Keren Zavis. Obviously it works even though it's Shaloi Kedah Avdi Inchi. So Meshechta would argue that that's because, no, the Turas HaPesach has to be built Kedah Avdi Inchi. The place where it's placed doesn't have to be Kedah Avdi Inchi. As he discussed, you could have a Turas HaPesach or Gabi Amayim, or a Turas HaPesach with things underneath it, even though it's in an odd place. Turas HaPesach doesn't have to be in the right place, Kedah Avdi Inchi, but it has to be built Kedah Avdi Inchi. The structure itself has to be Kedah Avdi Inchi. That's why Shachter feels love. It doesn't work in the Turas HaPesach. The Mishnah Berurah and Sivkan Yud Shin Samach Beis, Sivkan Kuf Yud Gimel says it does work in the Turas HaPesach, Lovud. Rav Schechter quotes the Chazon Ish, who has a problem with that. Because of that, Rav Schechter suggested that the Turas HaPesach built Kedah Avdi Inchi, that over here, Ois Yud Aleph, page 2 of the diagrams, that's no good. Who built a Turis HaPesach like that? Nobody. Or the sagging Turis HaPesach, the Mishkanes Yaakov is opposed to it, not only because it blows back and forth in the wind, but also because it's Shaloi Kedav, the Inchi, nobody builds a doorway like that. What was the Mishnah Berurah discussing when he said one pole could be shorter and one pole could be taller? He was discussing Oyzud Beis, where everything is Al Gabem and everything is perpendicular to the pull of gravity, but not where it's like Oyzud Aleph. However, Rabbi Eider, quotes from Baron Cutler, that if the angle between the two poles is less than 45 degrees, it's kosher, and that's what is followed in most Erevin, is the Psak of Baron Cutler. And Rabbi Eider argues further that you only measure it as perpendicular to the ground. What if it follows the lie of the ground, like Ois Yud Gimel, diagram Yud Gimel? So then Rabbi Eider says, we don't begin counting 45 degrees. It's 45 degrees different than the ground. If it's following the pole of the, you know, the angle of the ground, that's not even a discussion. Rav Schechter felt that it has to be built like Ois Yud Dalet. Everything has to be built based on the pull of gravity, because that's how you would build a doorway. Which becomes a problem if you're building Turis HaPesach down a steep hill, which we have over here, 187th Street and all and such. We had a problem with this in different places. Rav Schechter struggled with this. Rav Schechter also held nobody built a doorway where the ground isn't level. So the ground also has to be level. Oh, so that would be a problem because the ground isn't level underneath the doorway. So that's also Shaloi Kedav D'Inchi. But again, Rav Schechter here was willing to fudge it a little bit in the different places. But ideally speaking, that's a problem. The last issue is that a Kanamin Atzad has to be more or less straight. If it's angled, also that Shaloi Kedav D'Inchi. If I have a telephone pole that's egregious like this, you know, like that, it's an angle, Shaloi Kedav D'Inchi, Rav Schechter would have a problem with it. If it's tilted a little bit, he didn't have too much of a problem. But if it's at an angle, then it's a problem. Or if you're using the tubing that goes around the telephone pole, a lot of times to avoid the utility boxes, you're going to have to run the tubing around like a snake around the telephone pole, you know? So who builds a doorway like that? They have a door pole that runs around like this. So that's a big problem. That's a significant problem. So that's why I know one Eruv that in order to avoid the winding lechi problem, has short lechis, and they check every week with a level and a laser pointer. That's a major. The most Eruvim use the tubing, and you try and find the strategic point up the tube, up the pole, where you don't have to go, you know, machavek around, or, you know, and you more or less try and be straight. Okay, straight up, everybody. Sorry for going so long.